No, well, no, about Skype.
Oh, yeah, okay.
The version I did have just immediately crashed upon opening.
You guys are crackling on me now.
Crunchy.
Or
like
somebody eating something.
Someone's eating Captain Crunch.
Okay. No. I thought this audio was going out on me.
Hold on. Wait. No, it is going out.
Almost live from across the USA. This is Late Night. Your hosts tonight are Joel, Barry, Marty, and Michael. The Happy New Year, Uber! Tonight, Marty's new Jeep is awesome! Barry gets stopped by Jeffrey's Finest, and Michael has achieved level 10. All that and more on Late Night! And now, digitally setting the Wayback Machine to October of 2015. Start.
Sure.
Okay.
Right now?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
This sounds familiar.
Welcome, everybody, to Late Night QRM show number 198. That's right. Right? 198? Yeah, that's it. From
it's what you put in the show notes.
I hope it's right. From the colorful Monadnock region of Southwest New Hampshire, I am Barry J. drinking a Jiminy Coke.
Halloween, I had to get spooky. This is Joel drinking Christian Brothers Brandy and Cherry Dr. Pepper.
And this is Barty enjoying his usual E&J Brandy.
And from Studio V, this is Michael the Virtual Uper and my Park Bench Porter.
All right.
Good beer.
So it is October.
Yep.
And man, it was like this week, all of a sudden, bam, it's autumn. It started getting cold. I was wearing jackets to work.
Woo!
The leaves are changing. They're changing fast now.
Mm-hmm.
It really is, and we're waiting for the busloads of leaf peepers to show up.
I already found them.
Oh, and your travels today?
Yeah.
Busloads?
Busloads. I mean, people just pulled over just because, you know, you're driving around, you're going to run a blind corner. It's, you know, 45, so you're doing 55 miles an hour on a backcountry road. And wait! Stop the minivan. 31 friggin' people all out with their Fujimatics going, click, 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 standing in the middle of the road. And you're like, asshole! Welcome to New Hampshire.
Yeah. It's always fun. But,
Gotta love it, man. You gotta admit, it is beautiful. Hell, I even shot a movie, a little video with my phone while driving back from Vermont today because there was just a few spots where just like, wow, is this pretty?
Oh well, of course you stopped and you took and you took movie segments as you stopped the car and safely exited it to use the video on your cell phone.
Yeah, that's exactly what I did. while doing 50 miles an hour, holding my hand out the window with the iPhone going, ah, fuck it. If I lose it, the work has to give me another one.
Well, I was thinking more of the $200 ticket.
You know, the funny thing is I just had a discussion about that with Dr. Kenny. And you know one thing, an observation I had made, because he texts and drives all the time.
Yes.
And as I had said to him, you know, we can only get away with that up here in the woods, in back little villages and towns in the woods and the mountains. Because if you do that while you're trying to drive down Amherst Street and, you know, I don't know, Merrimack or Amherst or Nashua, you'll get pulled over about every other light and get another $200 ticket. And I said, so don't get used to being in the habit of going into urban areas and texting while driving.
I forget what town it was, but it was definitely New Hampshire. Did you see what they were doing? They had a guy dressed up like a homeless guy, and he had a big sign that said the end is near, and different little, you know, end of world sayings and stuff. And he was standing at a in the island at a four-way red light, traffic light. And when people stopped and the driver pulled out their cell phone and took pictures of him, they pulled him over and gave him $200 tickets.
You know what? See, but that's entrapment.
Well,
I think it is.
I think so too.
Technically, by the letter of the law, the driver should have done anything aside from grab their phone to take a picture while behind the wheel.
Yeah.
But I still say that's entrapment.
Yeah, it'll be interesting how many people try to fight it and see if they win. We'll never hear about that.
No. We'll never hear about it. They'll end up bumping it down to a $50 ticket.
Yeah. That's all. Yeah, or something like that with no points or whatever, you know. So.
Yeah, I mean, I've never, ever, ever would do something like that. I only text and talk to you guys while I drive.
Well, I got to say, I do use the voice texting.
Yep, the voice texting is the bomb. And then you say, Siri, read my texts.
Yeah. If you have to. If you got... which Barty does all the time. He sits there and texts us. Barty, we're driving. Use voice.
Yeah. Usually I'm at home, you know, so I'm just sitting there. I'll use the microphone if my wife's not on the phone or something like that. But generally, you know, so, yeah, I don't know what to tell you.
It's like, I'll read them when I get home, Barty. I don't like to read the texts, well, especially when I'm on Amherst Street driving home.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah. Well, a lot of times when if I'm on my way home and you guys start texting, I don't usually hear them until I get home, and I just play them all back.
Yeah. Oh, excuse me. I'm tired. Long day.
Yeah, well, it's funny whenever Siri will play or read back the typed in texts, because I've never had a robotic female voice tell me to F off so many times as I have in the last 2 weeks.
Those were classic conversations.
And they're always coming from my four best friends. You know, hey, F you, F you. And it's like, Siri's like, it was like, Barty, it was like, text from Barty, Joel, go fuck yourself. And she says it's a...
Loses it when you put it that way.
Yeah, well, when we're downloading long stuff, and it's like, what's your speed? Oh, mine's coming down at 35 FUJs.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good one. Yeah, I lost it when I read that one.
Because Barty and I were busy. We spent many hours downloading El Capitan.
Yeah.
And while we're chatting with Joel, he's sitting there, oh yeah, Debbie just started downloading it. Okay. Oh, it's halfway done.
Oh, half done.
All done. 6 minutes.
Yeah. Now, you guys want to hear the irony? Here's the irony that is your guys' payback. Downloaded El Captain Cruncho in like literally less than 20 minutes, maybe 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Didn't have enough memory in the freaking hard drive to put it on.
You're kidding. No, hey, really? Your hard drive's too full?
Hard drive too full to install.
Get rid of some of that porn.
Shut up. There's none of that, sir. Thank you on this machine. That's all on mine. But
you gotta move some stuff off onto that external drive.
I gotta buy another external, like a permanent, like you did with a 2 or 4 terabyte external hard drive that just stays plugged into this machine.
Yeah,
that's the way to go.
Yeah, I had to do that for downloading the rest of the stuff for our Logic Pro, because for the music part of it, and I like to have the whole package. They had basically about 45 gigs of other stuff to download. And I said, I can't fit this on my... If I have a 500 gig hard drive, of which I've got like 36 gig left. I've been trying to clean it off slowly but surely. I gotta move pictures. Pictures are the big thing. Pictures and audio. So I gotta start moving that stuff off. So, yes, I took one of... I have the 2 terabyte drive that I used to use all the time for Time Machine, but I now use the FreeNAS, the pricey FreeNAS machine to do my backup. So now I'm using that, and I plugged it into the side of the thing, and I loaded all that stuff over and did soft links back into the program from the hard drive. And so to get that stuff off, because it's like, there's so much. Yeah, hard drives aren't big enough. I'm looking at maybe trying to get, they're cheap now too. External hard drives, you can get like a terabyte hard drive for like $55.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember paying $110 for my 500 gigabyte.
Yeah.
When that was a big deal, from Walmart. Well, I think, what is that one? Not a Western Digital, but a Seagate.
Seagate, yeah. Yeah.
And now a 500 gig is $28 or something silly.
Yeah, I think they're crazy. Them.
They're crazy. Yeah, they're hard to find now. It's like
Walmart. You can still get them at Walmart.
Yeah, there's some on Amazon too, still. But and you can tell they're phasing them out. You know, these are the last ones that are trying to sell them off.
Leftovers off the shelf.
Yeah.
at that price point, it's really, really kind of hard to get any kind of profit out of them,
Right.
Yeah.
Although it only costs about $6 to make.
Yeah. Yeah, probably. And now that the SSDs are coming down in price.
That's the direction I like to go into.
Yeah.
You guys, I know, Barty, you have SSD. Michael, actually, all three of you guys have SSD drives, and I'm still spinning platters here.
They're coming down in price.
Problem is, once you get over 480 gig, they start getting pricey still. I'm waiting for that to come down. Because I would have already switched my wife over to 1 terabyte, except the 1 terabyte SSD is a chunk of change.
Yeah.
So she's got a hybrid. The hybrid's pretty cool. So it's part SSD, It's got that Borg type
control. Yeah, it does caching into the SSD portion of it, and so it makes the regular standard drive faster.
Right.
Or it keeps the stuff you're accessing all the time up in the SSD portion. Yeah, it does fancy stuff. There's algorithms. Yeah,
it's got that smart drive thing there. Hey,
it's wicked smart.
Yeah. Really. Yeah, but even an external drive connected through Thunderbolt or Thunderbolt 2 is not bad, because that's what my external drives are to the 2013 Mac Pro I have, and it's not as fast as the SSD, obviously, but it's faster than the drives I have in the internal drives I have in my 2010 Mac Pro.
Right, and when you use Logic Pro, especially if you're doing music stuff on it, and they say the same thing with video, and Barty, you may find the same thing with pictures. They say it's best to have a couple drives, because the one that's in your computer is being used to actually do all the processing, and if you can have your video off on an external one, then it's it can read that in at the same time it's processing it on the other drive, so it actually speeds things up a little bit. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, on my Mac Pro, with the SSD being so small, pretty much everything is on the external drive. You know, when it comes to large programs, like all the Adobe stuff, all of that is off on the Thunderbolt drive. Because there's no way I can fit all that crap on the internal drive.
You're breaking up. You're breaking up. Or is it just me answering it?
Okay, I'm glad you said that, because I heard it too. He was breaking up a little bit, but I didn't know whether it was my setup or...
No, it's coming through. It's coming through.
It's nothing you can do about it, Barty. You're still sounding good.
Barty, you always sound good.
Yeah. Uh-oh, he wants something.
I can't compliment a friend. Holy crap.
Oh, my. Yeah, so, Joel, have anything else to add about the autumn weather?
Yes, as far as with the wonderful colors of autumn weather coming our way, also comes the autumn weather wake-up temperatures, like 31 degrees in my house this morning. I went, holy shit, it's cold. Actually, it was outside. It was not 31 in here, but it was pretty nipply, and which leads me to say, God, I can't wait for Thursday, because that's what I'm putting in the pellet stove.
There you go.
We're kind of in the same boat in a similar manner. We contacted our fuel oil company to get a delivery, because at the end of last winter, we ran the barrel out of fuel oil and decided, well, rather than fill it, let's just try to ride it out and get into the summer, which worked okay then. The problem on this end is now we don't have fuel oil, and it's been cold as hell.
Yeah.
And we called the fuel oil company and says, we'll be there on Monday. And, you know, I called them on Wednesday and thought, really? You don't do Friday deliveries? And they says, well, not right now. There's not a big demand yet. And I was like, oh, okay. So we've been going through the Joel syndrome of a chilly house in the morning. It's been in the mid to upper 50s inside the house, and in the mid to upper 30s on the outside of the house. So we've been putting on some electric heaters to warm up the rooms that we hang out in most of the time.
Yeah. If you take a couple of 5-gallon gas cans, preferably kerosene cans, drive on down to the local gas station and fill up 2 5-gallon cans of kerosene. Drive
doing that.
Yeah, dump it in your oil tank. It'll actually cause it, it'll clean it, and it'll burn beautiful.
Yeah, we've done that before. We're familiar with that. We have 2 5-gallon cans that we keep around for emergencies. Mm-hmm. So we were just being lazy today.
Or diesel. Just diesel fuel works just as well.
Yeah, really, diesel, huh? I didn't know that would work in a fuel oil furnace. Yeah, I know. Yeah. We've used kerosene a lot in the past.
Yeah, kerosene, diesel fuel, you're talking almost the exact same thing. Kerosene's a little purer, a little bit more refined, but diesel fuel will burn just fine, because that's closer to diesel fuel is actually a cleaner version of number 2 home heating fuel oil.
Right. That's what I've heard.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yes.
That didn't help Volkswagen.
Wow, yeah. There.
So, but anyway.
Glad I don't own a Volkswagen. I mean, unless I was planning on driving it, you know, till it dies. I think the trade-in value of all those cars just went down a whole bunch.
But that's because they wouldn't pass emissions, right?
Well, they cheated. We ought to save this for bottom gear.
Save it for bottom gear.
Okay.
I will mention on this, though, that one of my coworkers that lives in Portland, he has a VW TDI diesel. And somebody's been going around all of Portland and putting a very nasty note under everybody's windshields.
Oh, yeah. Wipers. I heard about that. Yeah.
I'll what? It,
guys. Oh, how nasty Volkswagen is, and kind of reminds you back to the Nazi days, isn't it? And what? You know, with a dripping swastika on the I'll send you
that kind of connection.
Yeah, really.
It's Portland. It's the West Coast.
Yeah.
And you know what? It's a software change. Yeah, it's a big deal that they somebody in the company pulled this.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry. I know we're supposed to. I'll shut up and wait for bottom gear.
There's a cliffhanger.
I'm sorry.
We could talk about it here too if we.
Well, it actually goes under Geek Corner because you said it's software related. So someone changed
really,
that's
code. True. That's true.
It's actually software and business, and I am sure the fat lady has not sung for the number of companies that were pulling this.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I'm sure. All of a sudden, it's going to show up on a whole bunch of companies. And the thing is, at least you know, with the VW, if they change the software so they turn the afterburners on, basically lean the engine out the way it's supposed to, they'll be able to meet emissions. It's just right. That mileage is going to go down maybe a little bit.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. And my Prius is still getting 50 miles to the gallon. It's been beautiful, especially this weather with the cooler
ready,
weather.
Joel, you ready?
Yeah. La, 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 la. Oh, go. I can actually play it. But you can't hear it.
Play it.
Oh, yeah. All right. All right.
Never heard it so long. I miss it.
It's playing.
I don't miss
it. Oh, God damn it! I can't hear it.
Thank goodness. Yeah, I'm sure they play that on top of Brokeback Mountain all the time.
Oh.
It's playing.
At least I don't have to hear it now. Only when I listen to the show.
Okay, I cut it off.
Yeah, really?
I gotta get this set up so you guys can hear it again.
Awesome.
I may have to go back to computer setup.
Feel like we're on best episode ever. Where this is the part where Anthony plays the theme for the song that we're the theme song for the show we're currently talking about.
yeah, that's right. He post processes it. Yeah. So anyway, let's see what's going on here. Michael, how was your road trip?
Oh, yeah. Road trip was great. My mom's 80th birthday was fantastic. Thanks for the birthday wishes. I did pass them on to my mom. She says thank you very much. And to say hi back to the late night QRM gang. And that's been an interesting week. I mean, I got down. Well, something happened Sunday, but we'll get to that a little later in this. Excuse me, in this segment. So it was a busy Sunday, and then we had the eclipse that everything cleared up just in time for up here. So it was actually a fairly warm day for September for Copper Harbor. And we actually laid out on the dock on Lake Fanyhoe and watched the moon come up over Lake Fanyhoe and watched the eclipse from there. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was something we didn't talk about. Well, we forgot to. Yeah, last Sunday night was the super moon eclipse.
And, right.
I went outside and I was sitting outside for a little bit in the backyard. It was cold. Mm-hmm. And the moon was moving rather slowly. You know, so I said, screw this. I'll just come out every 15 minutes. Take a look at how far it's going. So,
yeah,
like a perfect old fart response.
Yeah, it's cold. Right back. I'll come out during commercial breaks.
So, it cleared up here.
Yeah.
And the darker it got, I mean, it's always meteor series season here because it's so dark.
Yeah.
So as the moon got darker, there were more and more meteors visible. So that was pretty cool.
It was crystal clear here too, and as it got dark, the Milky Way came out. You know, you could see the Milky Way. That was pretty cool. So, and the moon being red, and I was gonna set up my good camera and take pictures, and I pulled the camera out and everything, and I said, "Boy, I haven't touched this in a while, and the battery packs are dead." So then I said, "Okay," and looking, I couldn't find the charger for the battery packs. And I said, God. So I said, I'm not taking pictures of it. And one of the times when I came inside, I said, where is that thing? You know, and I said, I bet you I was charging batteries. And then I put the batteries back in the camera, but I left the charger out on the table. And then the next day, Emery probably looked around and said, I don't know what this is, so I'm going to put it someplace. And sure enough, that's what happened. It was in a plastic container behind my chair. So I did find it, unfortunately not in time to have the battery packs charged up for the the lunar eclipse.
The big event, huh?
Yeah, the big event. Because it is fun trying to take pictures of that stuff. With the, I got a tripod, and then I got a remote control for the camera, too, so I can set it up and not even have to touch the camera. So.
Yeah, we laid out like that too. Yeah. We laid out in the dock and had tripods set up, and they were using their DSLR cameras and taking time exposure photos of it. So we had a good view of the moon. I had to get up going early the next morning to get down to the office, and I should have realized something was up. I mean, if I'd really paid attention. I got down there a little later because something happened on Sunday and I was really busy on Sunday, and then I actually got hurt taking care of that. Stay tuned later in this episode, you'll find out what happened. So I had to stop in at the office near the airport and fill out an OSHA injury report, which put me running a little late going down to the main office in Green Bay on Monday. So I get down there and we're doing our company catch-up meeting and where we're at in projects. And while we're doing that, I zoom over to the lodging page to book a hotel. And normally when I, you know, click on the date and myself and a whole bunch of rooms show up in Green Bay, one room showed up. And it was $500. And I looked around the room and I noticed that everybody sitting at the table with me were wearing Green Bay Packer jerseys. And I said, is this Monday Night Football in Green Bay tonight? And they said, yeah, why? Oh, wait a minute. We didn't book you a room, did we? I said, well, there's one available. It's $500. And they went, yeah, no. So I actually had to book a room in Sheboygan. Actually, I talked about that in the episode. You guys already heard that. But that was interesting.
It was interesting.
Yes. So I almost bailed on that hotel. I almost went over to my friend's farm and slept in their spare bedroom instead. It was kind of gnarly. But anyhow, so I went down to Sheboygan, went back up to Green Bay, since next time they will book a room in advance for me on a game day. And then, as I said, my mom's birthday on Wednesday, and then we turned that into a two-day celebration. Ooh. And well, you only turn 80 once. You know? You do it right.
I'll let you know if I ever make it.
But the whole time, by the time you hit 80, Joe, I'm going to be in my 90s, I think. So, anyhow, yeah. I keep getting weather alerts for Copper Harbor. I'm thinking, oh, crap, I still don't have the furnace lit. Yeah, the house was getting down in the low 50s. And as you remember, I had some propane issues about a month ago. Mm-hmm. And in the process of switching that stuff over and getting things set up again, the pilot never got relit on the furnace. And when it sits for a while, it doesn't like to relight. It normally wants a fresh thermocouple before it comes back up again, if it's been down for any length of time. Right. So today, after getting back late last night, it was like 51 degrees in the house. Good sleeping weather, though. I like sleeping when it's cold, but when I got up this morning, I'm thinking, no, I don't like it cold here anymore. Yeah. I've got a spare used thermocouple, but it's a pain to change it in this furnace. So I'm like, no, I'm not going to go through the trouble and put a used thermocouple in. I'll get a new one this week. But I can get to it. So I did the old rotate the thermocouple 180 degrees so that the clean side is now facing the pilot.
Fixed!
And then I had to come out to the office here, and that tank was empty. Haven't filled that yet. But not quite as easy as running down to town for a 5-gallon can of diesel. Although I do happen to have these two barbecue cylinders that I was running the house off of a month ago. So I replumbed that to run off. I've got a couple of partial barbecue cylinder, so it's time to use those things up. So that's what's heating the office right now.
Nice. Yeah. As long as you're getting heat, that's all that really matters.
I had to turn. Right. I turned the two stoves on this week because I was sitting in the family room and watching TV, and I was like, "Damn, it's cold out here and cold in here." And I'm looking, and all the windows were shut. And I said, "And it's still getting cold." And so finally, I said, "Okay, time to light the pilots." And also had to tell Anne Marie yeah, call the companies, start the deliveries again. So and the main house, I got the family room all warmed up, and then I went into the kitchen, and it was like, geez, it's like 58 degrees in here. Yeah, so I turned the heat on there and put it on, of course, the overnight setting. I had to set the timer. We've had a couple power outages, and the timer was all off on the thermostat, so I had to reset that, get it going. And I noticed that upstairs, my lovely bride had already had cranked up the electric heat in the bedroom and the bathroom. Yeah, we keep that at like 65. Yeah, but
right.
And that's one of the things we discussed doing. is the electric heat upstairs, which we're not going to get away from. And it is actually pretty good for a house like ours, because you can, because there's a thermostat in every room, and you can turn the heat off in some of the rooms that aren't being used, the guest rooms and stuff, and only turn it on when you have guests. So it's nice in that way. We're going to start slowly replacing the electric heat. They're baseboard units, and it's electric heat. And because we're looking at them and saying, well, you know, those heaters were put in when the house was built. And it was built in the mid-70s.
Ah.
So, you know, they're pushing 40 years old now. I'm sure the baseboard heaters that they have today, especially the hydroponic ones, probably use a lot less energy.
Yeah.
Than the ones 40 years ago. So, and since that is one of the leading reasons why our budgeted electric bill is so high, because of winters using the electric heat, we're gonna start replacing those upstairs. And the nice thing about that is you can replace them one at a time.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like those Eden Pure electric heaters. Those things they work really, really good. It's not a quartz heater. It's infrared.
Oh, really?
It's an infrared electric heater. It barely uses any electricity, and it'll heat a whole room up, several rooms up, actually.
I'll have to look them up. What?
Yeah, Eden Pure is the first company that came out with them, but now you can get them. Duraflame makes a really good one as well, which is sold at, I think, Home Depot or Lowe's, one of those two. But it's an infrared heater. The actual cabinet doesn't even get hot, and they have those for baseboards too. So it's an infrared heater. It's electric. It puts out great heat and uses very little electricity, and they're about $140.
Huh.
I know, because I'm going to go buy one on Thursday when I put in the pellet stove. Just because although the stove's probably going to roast us out of this house, I thought, I always wanted one, and it'd be nice for the living room.
There you go.
Well, that's not a bad price.
They're good for spot heaters. Yeah, the hydroponic ones are pretty good, too. They're just, you know, instead of just having the electric elements that heat up, it heats up. There's a tube that goes across. It's a sealed tube with, I don't know what kind of oil or whatever they've got in it, but it just heats that up. And then, you know, the good thing about that is it's a more steady heat source, because you heat it up and it heats the room, and even when it turns off, the oil stays hotter longer, so it's, you know, it's
I have one in here now.
Yeah, they used to have the ones you could plug into the wall with wheels and roll around, look like the old-fashioned radiators.
Yep, I have one of those, and it works good.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have one in our bathroom.
So, but we're going to get the baseboard type and, you know, actually just take the one off of the wall and replace it, because it's already wired for it and everything, so... But we're going to do that, I think, see if we can get the price down a little bit. They do. It's got to be one of the most efficient ways to heat a house.
Mm-hmm.
It's just one of the most expensive ways to heat a house.
As it happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, our baseboard heating is all hot water.
Yeah.
We have a boiler in the basement. And it's similar to that in that even when the furnace shuts off, all the baseboards are full of hot water, and they still radiate heat for a while.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the nice thing about those. They stay warm, and then they'll kick back on again, and they never really get cold. You know, it's always some heat coming off of them. So, and again, you know, pretty soon the electric may be just as cheap as oil because of the price. Although this year oil was down considerably, but man, a couple of years ago oil was it was expensive.
Yeah,
it's gotten pretty dirt cheap this year, though.
Yeah, yeah. This year's it's low. So, I just saw something.
Yeah, I just typed something into the text and put a picture there, so you can see what I'm talking about.
Cool.
I see it.
I don't see it.
Yeah, open up the text.
Click in your text window there.
I don't have a text window. I get.
Yes, you do. On the right hand corner.
Lower right hand.
Oh, there it is. Okay. Yeah, they changed the GUI a little bit again. Oh, there you go. Here you go. And there's a picture. Cool.
Oh, nice. That'll do. It's a quartz infrared heater. It does 1,000 square feet to, you know, 70, 75 degrees. And uses less electric than a coffee maker.
Oh, yeah. They use those for those fake fireplaces and stuff, too.
Yep, and they freaking work.
Wow. All right, I'll have to check them out.
Yeah, thanks, Joe.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
And they come in different cabinets and look pretty and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, one's not bad looking itself right there. It's the way they have it set up. Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah.
Might be a way to go.
Well, they got that and ones that are like all oak cabinets and the price goes up, you know, with the fancier the cabinet, but I'm like, yeah, I'll use it as an end table that's a heater.
Yeah, there you go. So that's one of those probably wouldn't hurt. And the hydroponics, I wanted to go toward them because the problem with the straight electric ones is you always got to worry about them getting too hot and if something's too close to it and or lacy curtains aren't good to have around them, you know.
Yep. Got to be a little cognizant.
Yes. So, but yes, winter shall soon be upon us, and I'm surprised Michael doesn't have 4 feet of snow yet.
Yeah, don't even go there. That reminds me.
Has it snowed yet? Have you seen snow yet?
No, actually, no.
Wow.
It's that's rare up here, too. Normally, it snows by the end of September.
Yeah. Wow. That's incredible.
Trick or treat, here's your snow shovel.
Yes.
Yeah. So, Joel.
Ah. Joel.
You know what? I gotta put the show notes. Oh, wait a minute. I can pull the whole thing toward me. I did the QRM studios are about halfway done now. And but I had to do a quick setup here, and I rearranged how the monitors are, and I noticed that the monitor I have the show notes on is too far away that I can't even read the damn thing.
Well, let's see. My next Days of Our Lives thingy is not a huge big deal. Most people take these things for granted, but when you don't have one, you learn not to take it for granted, which is an electric clothes dryer. I wired up our panel and put in the breakers for it here in the cabin in the woods. And lo and behold, wouldn't you know, I was just waiting and to get the actual dryer itself. Then I can wire up the receptacle and tie it into the breaker. But it is here. And it's a very welcome addition to the little cabin in the woods because normally I love line dried clothes. They just smell so good out on the clothesline. But when Hurricane Joaquin starts blowing all that frickin' rain and torrential downpours at us, it tends to lead to wet underwear for a lot longer period of time.
Yeah.
So when you're trying to get your clothes washed for work the next day or what have you, and it's raining, 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 yeah, you have to plan a little bit further ahead. So the dryer is here. It's not quite in place. I just got it in the house, and tomorrow it gets hooked up, and woohoo! I got to drill a hole in the side of the house and put a vent in.
Yeah. So yeah. By the way, it looks like that hurricane may miss us totally. We might get some rain from it, but it looks like it's really on an arch out into the Atlantic.
Thank goodness you can stay there too.
Yeah, I we don't need downpours. Like my sister's down in their place in South Carolina right now, and yeah, they're getting pelted with the rain right now. She's just a little south and a little south and west of Charleston, so they're getting slammed right now with rain. Yeah, so
right. It's I was talking to my brother who's in North Carolina, said the same thing.
Yeah.
Just inundated with rain.
Yeah. So Michael, you have a runner's curse?
Yeah, well, I don't know what the percentage is, but it's not good. If I just I like going for a long run on Sunday afternoons, Sunday evenings.
Uh-huh.
The problem is I have a very high percentage of time when I go on a long run on Sunday afternoon or Sunday evening that the pager goes off. Well, it happened a week ago, so I figured, oh, I should be safe. And thought about it, got dressed for running, waited for the pager to go off. Nothing happened. Like, okay. Took my 600 milligrams of ibuprofen, let that settle into my system a little bit before I went, and then started heading on the trail run. And I'm running. And I'm kind of zigzagging out through the woods, and I get out to Hunter's Point. And this was last Sunday. It was actually fairly warm for Copper Harbor. It was pushing 80 degrees for late September. That's pretty hot here.
Mm-hmm.
It's bright and sunny. And wouldn't you know it, I'm a good mile and a half or more from the road, and my pager goes off.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, okay, there's a crew here in town. I'm the medic, but there's a crew here in town. Let's see what's going on. But I'm already turning around and starting to run. And I can talk about this because it's public here. And you get into the HIPAA thing, but I'm listening to a mountain bike accident being described.
Oh.
And it's on one of the cliff faces on Brockway, and it's way the heck out there. And then I'm starting to hear symptoms of spinal injury, and I'm like, crap, I can't leave this to the rest of the crew. I gotta handle this one. So now I've been running for an hour at this point, and I'm starting to double time it. I get on the radio, I call the state police dispatch to have somebody come pick me up at the marina parking lot. So I'm hightailing it out there. They have somebody pick me up at the parking lot, meet the ambulance, then drive to the top of Brockway, grab three medical bags over my shoulders, and start running the trails, get down to the patient.
Oh, jeez.
During the course of that, I'm following one of the friends of this person that had the injury. They're taking shortcuts. And I'm like, hey, I've got medical bags on me. I've got, everything. And they're going, they're cutting back across trails, and this isn't a jump trail anyhow, so I don't. The trail in question, for those that are interested, could go to the trail called Danimal in Copper Harbor. Danimal. Yeah. But it's a jump trail. And the jump trail for mountain bikes is you've got these sharp, 6 to 8 foot inclines that you hit with the bike, so that you get airborne.
Wow.
And then there's a sharp 6 to 8 foot drop off the other side so that you have some place to be airborne in. Mm-hmm. And of course, this is on a cliff face. Well, this person had a really nasty accident. And as we cut across one of these cliff faces, I took a digger. I slid down it, and I opened up my left hand like you wouldn't believe. I've got bumps and bruises everywhere still, but I really sliced myself open good coming down this cliff face. It just happened to catch this one edge of rock that was really, really sharp. So now I've just got blood pouring out of my left arm. And I'm like, oh, great, I'm the medic here. So we, I grab everything, continue barreling down this path. They get to the patient. First thing I got to do is I had already radioed ahead and I said, have one of your people. I had given them, one of them had a mountain bike. So I gave him one of our radios and I said, right ahead, listen to what I tell you to do. So he zooms ahead. I tell him to hold his friend's head. Don't let him move. Don't do anything. I get there, and he's about to move. And I said, don't move a second. Open up one of my med bags, and they see my left arm is just full of blood. So I pull out one of these gauzes, and I wrap my arm up, have them cut it off and tie it off so I can start attending to the patient. Long story short, looks like it's going to have a happy ending, but yes, this person had a very serious spinal injury. We managed to keep it from becoming permanent.
Wow.
But we were miles off road in deep woods with no access. So I'm attending to this guy. I'm getting him stabilized, getting initial stuff done. My crew shows up about 20 minutes later. They caught up to me with a fireman Stokes basket and longboards and finish packaging this guy up, and then we proceed to carry this guy out as carefully as we can for an hour and a half through the woods, down the cliffs, down through the trails. And fortunately, two other fire departments showed up because they were thinking they were going to need a high-angle rope rescue. I was able to get through this without that part of it. But they're, the rescue team's here. I said, send them up. Well, didn't you move the patient? I said, I need manpower. <'Cause> we had six people around the Stokes basket at any one time carrying this guy down. Got the person to the road, got them to the hospital, and then they were flight for life out from there. But as I said, the good news is this is going to be a happy ending. But it was a three-hour ordeal for me on Sunday afternoon. Plus, as I said, I really banged myself up good. This is, I think, the first time I've had to fill out an OSHA injury report while on duty.
Oh, wow.
Are you okay?
Still pretty sore. The serious laceration actually healed really quick, but it was a really clean cut. And when I got back, I cleaned it out really good. And my wife can attest to me yelling as I was doing it. But, you know, there's no substitute. Because by the time I got down, my arm's all wrapped in bandages. And it's full of dirt because, you know, I'm in and out of these trails and up against trees. And it was messy. Wow. The EMS service had still wanted to take me into the ER the next morning and have me stitched up. And like, no, I didn't. Just let me fill out the reports and let me get to work.
Put a couple butterflies on it.
It's just a flesh wound.
Yeah, just a flesh wound. Flesh wound. So this is probably sounding pretty boring. I was thinking like, well, yeah, whatever. But I have things normally happen, but normally not this big. When I go on a run, normally, you know, somebody has a laceration or has a bicycle accident or something. But nope, this was a full-fledged cliff rescue. I was like, ah, crud.
Jeez Louise.
What are you doing there?
It's to be a flesh wound.
No!
It's my knight. My black
knight. Yeah. Good.
Up on the shelf here with my coconut animal collection.
That's a good one, Barty.
Running. If I see somebody else in the department, in the fire department or on EMS, they'll see me and all of a sudden they'll check the radio to make sure it's working. Point it out, thumbs up, we're ready.
Barty just posted a picture. That is so freaking funny. Oh, he's got the horse clapping.
They're even marked left and right.
I have a friend in South Carolina who sent me that.
That is awesome. Two guys on a couch. Late,
but I wanted to wait till Michael was finished with his story.
That is classic. With an outboard motor bolted to a couch. Drink beers.
Gonna have to post that on the home.
On just the, a couple of good Google. Old boys. That's all.
Yeah, post that on the Google page.
Right, that's like all a right. Redneck hot tub.
That's great.
Basically, the bed of a pickup truck lined with a big rubber tarpaulin filled with water.
Yeah, we should do that, too. Whenever we talk about stuff like this or we show pictures or something, put them on the Google Plus page and refer to what episode we talked about it on.
That would be smart marketing.
Yes.
Well, the only thing is that it'll be superseded by the time the show comes out. You'll have to dig through.
All right, I'm trying to get better at that. Shut up. I'm trying to get better.
That'll help to engage our engagement matrix.
There you go. Check out your scores quickly.
You're killing me. You're killing me. Well, let's get into Geek's Corner. I'm going to play the theme.
What theme? I don't hear it.
You can't hear it.
They see me mowing my front lawn. I know they're all thinking I'm so high and nerdy. Just too white and nerdy. Can't you see I'm white and nerdy? Look at me, I'm white and nerdy.
All right. right. And I've got the first first topic here in this segment. And what is it? Oh, there it is.
You tell me.
Topic.
I need to get the monitor a little closer. A little closer.
Yeah, any closer, and you're going to have it duct taped to your forehead.
Then you won't be able to see
it. It sucks getting old, I'm telling you. All right. Well, the first one is, as we mentioned before, Captain Crunch came out this week. I mean, El Capitan, Apple's new OS X release. And Barty and I downloaded it. Barty was the first person to get it done. And
the one to get it started. I'm not sure which one of us actually finished it first.
I think you did, but how long did it take you to download and
install? 5 hours.
Yeah, that seems to be the going rate.
Yeah, well, I downloaded it on one machine, and then I passed it around my network to the rest of the other machines.
Yeah, that's the smart way to do it, because actually the install actually took quite some time too. At least for me, it did. It was like an hour or so. It said, "Oh, this will take 10 minutes." Mm-hmm. Well, that was the longest 10 minutes I've ever seen. It was, you know, I watched 2 shows on television for during those 10 minutes. Yep. And it finally installed, but it took me about 3 hours to download the thing. And Joel, how long did it take Debbie to download it?
20 minutes.
Hence,
fuck you,
what
Joel.
Was that? Yeah. FYJ.
FYJ. It was running at 35 FYJ.
Yes, it was. It was doing a little experiment. About 20 minutes. Yep.
Yeah. Yes. Anyway,
next time, bring your MacBook in the Prius and sit in the
You know, it would have been faster. I would have had it installed and everything, drove up there, had it installed, drove back, and it would still have been faster than me doing it at home.
Now, you ready for this part? Are you ready for this part? The Mac Mini did it over Wi-Fi.
Well, mine was over Wi-Fi, too. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It wasn't hardwired into the router.
Yeah.
It was Wi-Fi. Plus, we were watching Netflix, two cell phones.
Yeah. Shut the fuck up.
FYJ. I loved it when you came up with that, Barry. That was classic.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. So far, it's good. It's stable. The only issue I had was, soundboard wasn't working. I tried repeatedly to get it to come up. And as I was telling you guys, I don't know whether this was pre-show or post-show or whatever, but I have CrashPlan 2, and I was getting that set up, and it wanted me to update my Java. So I went to the Java site and updated to the latest and greatest Java 8 U60. And don't ask me why I know exactly what that is, because God only knows. That's what I was doing all week at work. Looking at different software packages and their version numbers. Anyway.
Cue the theme of the Volga boatman.
So I did that. I installed it for CrashPlan, and then this afternoon, when I was testing up, because I moved the studio around a bit and rearranged it, so I took everything apart and had to piece things back together. And when I did that, I wanted to make sure everything was working. And I said, well, just for, you know, grins, I'll try to start Soundboard up again. And Soundboard came up, crashed like it did before, but said retry. And I hit retry, and it popped up. And so now I'm thinking, maybe Soundboard was written in Java. And when I upgraded the Java, it's now working. So I'm going to have to ask Rogue Amoeba what they write their software in.
Yeah, you know, an incredibly secure language. Good choice.
Yeah. And Party, our entire system's written in frickin' Java.
Yeah, we have a lot of ours between
Java
as well.
And JavaScript, though. So.
Yeah, no, Java's not too secure these days. Matter of fact, Oracle, who now owns Java, cut out Java 7 a bit early and end of lifed it in favor of Java 8 because there were so many bugs and
security holes.
And here we are writing systems in it.
Yes. Yeah. It's not my favorite language.
Yeah, but, you know, it's like the way people prefer a lot of other women. It's cheap and easy.
And that's a wrap.
You can edit that, Joel.
That's going to be Barty's new ringtone.
It's cheap and easy.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of Java, and I've been dealing with it for, almost 10 years now.
Yeah, but, you know, it's something that's easy to learn, easy to implement, and things like that. So the costs are very small, you know, as long as you don't think about the security implications of what you're doing.
It's actually, you know, it doesn't run that fast because it runs on its own virtual machine, and it's only compiled down to bytecode instead of actual natural machine language of the machine. Exactly. And it's okay if you have a mixed system with multiple different types of operating systems or machines types and everything, then you might want to look at it. Well, without going into detail, our system's not like that. They're all the same.
We have our software running on a mix of Windows and Unix type systems, so we are pretty dependent on a platform independent kind of thing.
And there's other things out there now other than Java that would, I think I'd prefer to see people use.
Yeah, but you know, those kind of programmers cost more.
I don't know. I think Python's starting to starting to get up there now.
Well, a lot of people don't like it because it's open source.
What?
Python.
So is Java.
Well, Java is more like freeware, though, right? Because it's from Oracle these days.
It's open source.
It's free to use and things like that. But Python is, you know, from the free software coalition, you know? Yeah. All the people that think that software shouldn't have to be paid for. You know, the Linux community is where that comes
from. Which is what our systems run for our operating system.
Oh.
Red Hat.
Yeah, but you don't like Linux.
Oh, I like Linux.
You've criticized it tons of times on this show.
No. Microsoft I have. Well, not so much Linux. It's my second favorite operating system.
I could have swore that we had conversations where I was advocating Linux and you were slamming it as being a almost like a third country of operating system.
Oh, no. I'll take Linux over Microsoft any day. That's my second favorite operating system. Of course, OS X is my favorite. And Linux comes in second.
I'm the same way.
Yeah. My only criticism about Linux is because it's mostly open source software and it's a lot of volunteer groups working on these things. There's no hurry to get stuff done. So therefore, you know, you get some stuff in Linux, some of the RPMs, oh, yeah, we'll get to that maybe in a year or two.
Yeah, I guess it depends upon the enthusiasm of the people involved.
Right.
Yeah,
so others are great. But some, you know, so you take the mix and match. So anyway, we're boring people. but it is Geek Corner.
It's a perfect time to truck shop.
It is Geek Corner. So anyway. So, Barty, you got yours installed. Mine's both on the Mac Mini now and on the... the only thing I haven't figured out how to do, because one of the things they touted, and I thought this was pretty cool, although I'm a user of multiple displays, I use them all the time, and they've upgraded that, so I enjoy it being able to navigate the multiple displays, desktop displays, a little easier with better things. There's supposed to be a thing in El Capitan where you can split the screen, your display in half, and put two things running side by side, which I haven't figured out how to do. I haven't had a chance to look it up and see how you do that. But for this setup here for podcasting, I would love to do that. You know, instead of sitting there and trying to line things up.
Barry.
Yeah. But
so when you figure it out, let me know.
Okay. Oh, I'll be looking it up soon. I just haven't had a chance to do it. But other than that, it was mostly a bug fix, I think. There were a few new things. Like I said, the switching back and forth of the virtual displays and stuff, that's nice. Supposedly, Spotlight is better. I haven't really had a chance to play with it. And I don't know what else. I know Safari's got some updates. You can, if you have tabs that are up all the time, you keep up all the time, which I have several of those that they're always up, and you know, they always take up all the top full. You can now scrunch them down into smaller tabs. Another great thing, which I think Google already had this, or Chrome already had this, but they put it in Safari finally. If you're on a page and it pops up something and it starts playing a video or audio automatically, and you know how you're sitting there going tab, 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 especially if you have thousands of tabs open simultaneously like I usually do. You're sitting there going through the tabs trying to find which one's playing the goddamn video.
Yeah, I hate that damn shit.
Yeah, well, now they have a little indicator on the tab when an automated video or audio starts playing. So you can just scan your tabs and you can find which one's the offending tab and go in and squelch it.
Oh, that'd be handy. That's very handy.
So, other than that, it's out. It's
now with mine. I downloaded it on my iMac, and before I installed it, I took the installed app and passed it around to a couple other machines. And then it's funny because my iMac installed it faster than my dual processor multi-core 2010 Mac Pro did. My 2013 Mac Pro installed it in nothing flat.
Wow.
Because I put it on the internal drive and just let it rip.
Yeah.
And it was like really fast. The iMac, I think, took about 20 minutes. And my 2010 Mac Pro, of course, it's got a lot of drives and a lot of software on it. So there's a lot more crap on that machine, you know, having multiple internal drives. That one took almost a half hour.
Mm.
You know, and even after the reboot, it still wanted to update other things.
Yeah, well, goes through and tries to optimize your system, which means, you know, if you got a lot of drives on there and a lot of applications, it's going through each one of those and looking to try to optimize it for El Capitan.
So. Yeah. So, but overall, I had a very smooth experience. I haven't run into any issues or anything like that with it.
Oh, I haven't either yet. So a good one. So, Michael.
Same here too, by the way. I since I was at the time this came out, that was my mom's birthday. So on that Wednesday, I took my personal MacBook Pro and the one I had been doing all my development work on. I started the Captain Crunch update on that while we went off to the family birthday party, and then came back and wish you could hit the agree ahead of time. You know, you got to come back and yes, I agree to the terms. Now install it.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
But
other choice anyway, right?
Right. Yeah. So
no, I just spent all this time downloading and I don't want to install it.
But I had both MacBooks with me. I had the new one that the work bought me and my personal one, which I do most of my work on anyhow. Uh-huh. So I upgraded the personal one, ran that the rest of the day. I was already debugging some code, so I knew I could be running all the development environment and everything that I would need to run on it, and everything was running flawless. So normally I would wait, but then I said, yeah, I'll throw caution to the wind. Boy, boat to boat.
Caution to the wind, that's tax time.
Yes, yes. And Thursday I upgraded the company, the 2015 Retina MacBook Pro. And I will say that it is snappier, especially on my old machine. I noticed another performance boost. So I do plan on upgrading my wife's MacBook probably in a couple of weeks. We'll wait to see if there's any bugs that you know, kind of show up. But if nothing comes screaming out, and with all the public beta they've been doing on this, I'm not really expecting any big surprises. We'll go ahead and update Chris's. But then the other thing, as you see in the show notes, not only was I downloading Captain Crunch on Wednesday, but before we left for the family get-together, my mom has, and she goes, I want to take advantage of this Windows 10 invite. I cringe. Oh, okay. What kind of laptop is this? HP. Cringe. Okay. But you know what? I hit the accept invitation button or whatever it is you start with, and you know you have to go through like a menu or two first. Yeah. But 6 hours later.
Six hours later.
It was installed, up running, and mom's working on Windows 10 now. So it got through at least one HP. Yeah. Well, she's a pretty geeky grandma anyhow.
I should probably try mine again and see if it actually works. Maybe they've come out with a better install package, and they just didn't say anything. I haven't even tried.
Yeah, we never covered this, I don't think, in Geek Corner, but... And I know I texted you guys about this, but for any of our listeners who might have had some issues with this, I'm running virtual machines on almost all of my MacBooks. And because it's a virtual machine, I use it for some very specific tasks for Windows. And you know, when I got to run Windows, there are some tools I just have to run on Windows. So I don't go overboard on the drive size, the virtual drive size. And I have been having problems since summer on most of the machines I deal with, filling up on their own. Hmm. They're like, what the heck is going on here? And then I found out that on many machines, Windows 10 just goes ahead and pre-installs itself. It downloads the install packet in the background.
Really?
Like up to 5 gig of install packet in the background.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, I went and looked for the hidden file, and there she blows. Unfortunately, despite the fact that I ran Windows 10 beta, the technical preview, for like better part of a year, when it came time to accept the invitation on my MacBook, it says, oh, your machine's not compatible. But I've been running it, but it won't let me. So I go, well, screw you.
Yeah.
But even though it says my machine's not compatible, it still downloaded the 5 gig package.
Yes, of course, yes. It doesn't do the check whether it's compatible or not until... after it downloads it.
Right. Yeah. So then I went online and found out which Windows update that little invitation and its download belonged to. I went back and uninstalled that particular Windows update. And now it's all gone, and I have space again. Life is good.
Yeah. Yeah, if I put Windows on VMware here on the Mac, that's going to be something that's probably going to go on the external drive instead of wasting valuable space on the internal drive. I don't really need it. I never open Windows. I really haven't. In the beginning, when I first switched over to Mac, yeah, I felt I needed it because there was still stuff. But now, I don't miss Windows at all. A couple amateur radio programs. That's about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately,
Go ahead, Michael.
Sorry. Yeah, and unfortunately, some of my development tools are only available in Windows.
Yeah.
So I use it for that, and I do have one client that they're. All of their engineering tools are in Windows environments. Like, all right. Grumble, grumble, grumble.
Yeah, I have a Windows program to tune a Radio Shack scanner. That's a programmable scanner, and it only runs in Windows.
You run ScanCat?
I just threw out a ScanCat.
No, I don't have ScanCat. I forget what it's called.
Is that a program?
Yeah. Well, it's one of the ones that ran the Radio Shack scanners with ScanCat, but there might have been another one too.
Oh, I thought you were talking about. Remember when Radio Shack came out with their catalogs?
They
called that ScanCat too.
Now this is a scanner programming utility that came
from the scanner manufacturer, even though it had a Radio Shack name on it. It wasn't, you know, obviously made by Radio Shack.
Yeah.
And they came out with a utility that you could use to reprogram the scanner, you know, every time you move to locations and things like that, you know, because let's face it, once I moved out here, I really didn't need to hear what the Nashua PD were doing anymore.
Mm-hmm. And besides that, you don't even need scanners anymore. You can just get that Radio 50 application or whatever it's called. Radio
5. Yeah, I've got that. But yeah. The thing is the police use frequencies that app cannot access.
Hmm.
And these programmable scanners can actually be programmed to pick up frequencies that are not supposed to be publicly available.
Well, they use trunking things,
yeah,
too.
Which, this is a trunking scanner.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Yeah. My buddy Dan at work has one. He actually has it at work. And I my new office is over right across from where he sits now. So I enjoy listening to the scan. He's got the scanner on all the time, you know, so you always pick up on all that stuff. And he's got a trunking scanner, so we pick up on all that stuff. And you get the side stuff when they move over to side channels and stuff during a bigger emergency or yeah. event.
Some of that stuff is funny as hell.
Yeah.
Especially if you live in a rural area where everybody knows everybody. You know, then you hear things like, you know, so-and-so got his goddamn car off the road again. You know, he got 2 miles from the bar this time. You know, it's like really funny as hell.
Yeah. All right. So, what's this? A better view of what Joel is eating. Oh, there we go.
Ooh.
Utz. Honey barbecue. Potato chips.
Okay, I'll put them down.
No, what? I wasn't asking you to put them down. That's what I was doing. Like,
okay. We're going to move on to the next segment, the Ingerst Report.
Acquiring position. Now, downloading latest
time
Intel
to get a
package.
Beer there, Bob.
I'm playing the... oh, here we go. Ow. Wow.
Craig's...
Linking possible.
Okay. It's done.
All right.
And Joel, yeah, Craigslist, you've been like the most active Ingress player of the group lately.
Joel, the new Ingress junkie.
Yeah. Don't let Joel fool you. He's addicted. Uh-huh. He plays every day on the way home.
Well, yeah. Kinda.
Yeah, kinda. Kinda. Ah, look at that! The whole town's green. I'm taking it now.
When the servers let him. When the server guys let him.
Yeah,
that's a little frustrating.
Yes. Yes, it is. It's gotten really bad lately too.
When the what?
Yeah.
When the what lets you?
Won't let you get on the server guides.
Oh yeah. You know what? When you were having problems with that, and you kept saying you're having problems, and you know I wasn't having any issues whatsoever, and then you got home and said as soon as you hooked into Wi-Fi, it cleared up.
Yep.
Yeah, that was a Verizon problem.
Interesting.
It had to be because you're on Verizon. I was on AT&T, and I had no issues whatsoever. And I heard a couple other guys were having problems, and they were Verizon people.
You so. Have your phone set to. Access data through your cell network?
Yes.
Okay. Because as I know, some people, to preserve the amount of data they use, can turn that off and only connect to networks and do data things when they're on a Wi-Fi connection.
Right. This is a work-issued phone, so I don't care.
Yeah, and you really can't do that with Ingress. It's hard to play. As Michael will tell you, it's hard to play on strictly Wi-Fi unless you've... You know,
right?
But I did get to level 7 doing that.
Yes, you did. But your whole town's lit in Wi-Fi, so
yeah, I'm a system administrator, so I can get on the bad calls, Wi-Fi or not.
But oh, and another thing. So getting back to Geek's Corner real quick. I don't know whether we discussed this last week or not, but it was coming out. And for you people with iPhones that actually have to pay for your usage. There was a new feature in iOS 9 that came out under, let's see, where was it? It was under, I think. Let me check if it was General.
Cue the Jeopardy theme.
Do 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 do. It's under cellular. You go to settings, cellular, and then scroll all the way down to the bottom, which may not be so long for you, but for me, I'm scrolling and scrolling and scrolling through all the apps that are there that you say yes or no, you can use the cellular network. There was a new thing added in iOS 9 called Wi-Fi Assist.
Yes.
And Wi-Fi Assist looks at your Wi-Fi connection, and if it feels that it is not that good, it will automatically start using the cellular network to help improve your speeds.
Yes. Now,
it's an option, but when they added it to iOS 9, the option was on.
I see.
Yes.
Thank you.
So turn it off. Basically, if it detects feelings of inadequacy, it compensates.
Well, and they were saying a lot of people, like, yes. Sorry, Barty. That was a slow curve. Sorry, Barty. that was almost a swing and a miss. I caught it, though. It's as a lot of people, like me, if you're on one side of the house, your Wi-Fi is good. If you're on the other side of the house, maybe not so good. And what they were finding was their phone was automatically switching over to cellular, the cellular network for stuff they thought they were doing on Wi-Fi. And it doesn't tell you it's doing it.
Nice.
Ooh.
So I suggest turning it off, and then it'll be just like iOS 8. Because it ignores your you know, all those apps that are in front of it where you can say, yes, use the cellular network or don't use the cellular network. It ignores that.
Oh,
for this case.
Well, I guess it depends what your orientation is. You know, I mean, if you're trying to save your cellular data usage, that would be the way to go. But if you're a person that's like maximum performance, damn it, then you probably would appreciate this.
Well, the article I read, and I'm sure this is a bizarre freak occurrence, that not many people have this. But if you're, you know, almost all the, if you have unlimited data, you have nothing to worry about. Well, if you've got a company phone and you don't care, you have nothing to worry about. However, if you do have a cap, now I have a 10 gig cap, which I probably don't have much to worry about, but people that get 2 gig caps, the thing I saw, they had a picture of a guy with a cell phone bill out, and his cell phone bill was like $1,700.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Well, bend over, baby.
Yeah. So that's why I went and turned it off, because my wife is streaming all the time. She streams, we got Radio 365 or 360 Live or whatever it's called. And that we replaced the satellite radio with that, XM. And she loves it. And she uses it all over the house. Well, you know, most of the time, if not all the time, except for when she's in the car, she's on Wi-Fi, so that's not bad. But she takes it outside, too, and sometimes the Wi-Fi gets a little sketchy. You know, you're at the edge of the Wi-Fi connection. Well, with that on, it was automatically switching over to cellular. And we could go through that 10 gig awfully damn fast the way she listens to it. So just be careful. Now back to Ingress. I don't have much. Look, I don't have
Dodge.
Huh?
Oh, look, a Dodge.
Hey, I noticed Joel under here. There's the name Joel under Ingress Alerts. Yeah. Anyway, I just wanted to say, didn't get a chance to play much this week. However, I did meet a nice new Smurf. He's fairly new. He's level 7. He's almost an 8. I think he lives in Jaffrey here. I'm not sure. I'll have to find out more, but we've been chatting back and forth, and I've been introducing to some of our fellow frogs in the area, and we've been talking back and forth. fellow frogs. Well, not fellow frogs, but
fellow Ingressers.
Ingressers who are frogs. Our competition.
I was to say, did you switch factions?
No. I'm Air Force Blue all the way.
What a man.
You did get an invite a while back, he mentions.
Oh, yeah. They were trying to switch me for quite some time. But
you're still AC and not DC, right?
Yes. But the agent name of the new guy is Greener Teeth, which I thought was kind of an interesting name for a Smurf.
New guy.
Yeah.
So is he a vegetarian?
I don't know. I don't know where the name comes from.
Yeah, double agent. Yeah, I'm a Joel. But, can't trust that guy. You need to beat him up.
But he's been helping keeping Jaffrey Blue, and he's trying to get up to 8 real quick. I said, well, just go up and attack Peterborough. Go grab a beer at Harlow's, and then go back out and attack it again, because they got guys up there that as soon as you attack it, they're out within 10 minutes of your attack, turning it green again. And it's walkable. Peterborough is so walkable, you know, easy to take out.
It's a small town, right?
Yeah, it's a small town, and all the portals are within walking distance. Well, hell, you know, I sit there, like I said, I'm going to take out this one key portal. I sit there and hit it with a couple of eights, and I end up taking half the town out. And then I'm there extra time, just, you know, well, I can't leave these things gray.
Hell no.
So... But nice guy. Okay, that was my Ingress report. Michael?
So, well, I didn't want to bring it up last week, since Joe had upgraded after hard work. But I had the opportunity. I'm kind of sitting on jumping up to level 10, just waiting for the right time to go in and strike. Well, somebody did my work for me. Thank you, the Enlightened Faction, because somebody decided that they were going to make all kinds of fields to Calumet and protect them by putting the anchors way north, out of the way.
That's too funny.
Whoops. So, I mean, literally, they had a couple of anchors up around Phoenix and the snow thermometer, you know, way out of the reach of campus and everything. And
I mean, who could possibly be up there, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, so obviously now, tadpoles.
Yeah, I came through with, I took out 3 anchors. It's all it took. 3 anchors, not acres. That's, well, more than 3 acres, actually, by the time you take all those fields into account. But I took out 3 of their anchors, and bam, I was level 10.
Nice. So,
Midwest enlightened fields.
Polite clap. Yep.
Thank you. So now I am aspiring. Got to take it to 11, you know, 11. 11's good, you know.
Yep.
Go for that Spinal Tap level, then I'll keep it there.
Don't need to go
but I'm going for 11.
12 takes for frickin' ever, let me tell you.
11's good. I've got all but one stinking badge, and it's 2 million points, easy.
I think I got enough points for 13, but I can't get my 2 frickin' extra gold badges for 12.
Really? Mm. Which 2 are you looking for?
Any of them? No, I've got a bunch of silvers, but I'm like pretty damn far away from any of them. And I just, I'm sorry, but I'm not going to be the extreme player.
What?
Yeah.
It's a 3-day weekend next weekend.
Well, we might go out and play.
Click that picture, Barry, somehow.
That's the Ingress face.
We might be
that
able
would
to
be my album mark for this episode.
I wish I could. I don't think you can take a picture in Skype. Skype?
Yeah, what kind of piece of crap software is this?
Yeah, no, probably made by Microsoft or something.
Or stolen by them.
Yes.
Oh, no, they bought it.
So, Joel.
Aw. Well, finally, I got out of the level 4 doldrums and made it to level 5.
Polite clap.
And, you know, as much as there were a few times there when your guys words were ringing in my ears while nearly driving Goldfinger off into a rain ditch. So, like, oh my God, there's a porn. And off into a rain ditch. And start to, you know, attack, attack, attack. And I'm thinking to myself, the words that kept ringing through my ears again and again and again, which was, you know, when you get to level 5, you can actually really start to do some damage. Because at a level 4, it is frustrating as hell.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing has any punch, real knockdown power.
Right.
And I made a couple of fields going up Route 31, for those who are listening, and a few portals I was able to maintain. And then I also did a bunch of them up in Newport, New Hampshire on my way to Vermont.
Nice. And, you know who hangs there?
No.
Nimble.
Really?
That's Nimble territory.
Every time I hit Norwich, there is a bunch of them up in Goshen. Goshen. And I literally pulled over in front of every frickin' portal in that town and either hacked it or beat the hell up out of it.
Wow.
And
nice.
I do that on the way back from the rugby matches, and I'm like, I'm not in any hurry. I don't give a shit. And
yeah.
The last time I did that in Goldfinger and did end up in a rain ditch or two trying to get the car out, which, you know, it worked.
Yeah.
And so I've changed my tactics. Now I drive Rambo.
Ah!
And I don't care about ground clearance. I'm driving over trees.
Playing Rambo theme.
What are you? The worst nightmare.
The horses again?
No. The what are you? Worst,
I didn't know
nightmare.
You had the My Little Pony theme. Oh, wait a minute. It's the Rambo theme, right?
My Little Pony.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, the worst
I saw your comment about that.
Yeah, I'm like, you know, when I used to do it, I'm like, it's my little pony. He's for trouble. And I can put your Prius in the back of it. But almost. So, literally, Rambo has helped the Ingersing a lot. Because I can seriously do a little off-road poking around and get into some portals to go ahead and do a little hackage. And uncannily, I hit a couple that were just grays. Ran out of resonator power. And they're just, I look, you know, well, of course I was stopped.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And, yes. You're always right, stopped.
And in
the
park.
Vehicle in park.
Pulled over. In park.
And I looked and saw gray. Well, we can't have that. That's an incomplete. We must complete the circle of life. So I drive over to him. And then, of course, Barry, who's taught me many good tactics, like, here's what you want to do. You want to spread those resonators out. And I'm like, well, a couple of them I actually got out and walked.
Mm-hmm.
The furthest most points and dropped resonators. Others, I don't care.
Yeah.
So I dropped them in real tight. And Michael's words rang into my head again this past week, where it's like, Ultra Strike. And if you're sitting right on top of it, whap, as a level 4, I could actually take some stuff out. And like magic, I became a 5.
Nice. Notice how those XMPs work a little better now as a 5.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I'm taking out level 8s.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've hit a couple, you know, portals that are, you know, maybe 2 level 8 or level 7, a level 8, a level 4, a level 3s. And I'm like, and I'll actually try them. And I've withered them right down to the last level 8 resonator.
Yeah.
It's like a little bit left. Of course, then I ran out of XMP.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm like, oh, well, don't you use the cells?
You mean the cubes?
The cubes, yeah.
Yeah, but you can't cubes. But you can't make weapons with a power cube.
Oh, you ran out of XMPs.
Yeah,
I thought you ran out of energy.
No, I always use my power cube energies and back up again.
Yeah.
But I ran out of weapons. I'm like, are you serious? I almost took out this level 8. And I, you know, I'm like, all I need, if I had a rock, I could throw it at it and take it out.
Yeah, you also got to be careful because people play the recharge game on you, too.
I've had that happen.
Yeah.
I've had that happen.
Probably an Antrim.
The thing is when I do that,
yeah,
I still, even though they may have like you guys, a kabajillion weapons all in your little stockroom stashes and caches, I still let them know that there's somebody here who's trying.
Yeah.
I'll use up a little bit of your inventory because I want to bang, bang, bang. And maybe they're laughing going, oh, silly level five. You can't do anything to me. But in the back of your mind, you're going, there's a new player in town and this guy's going to keep coming back.
Yeah.
That's my message.
Oh, and soon he'll be a level eight. So, but you know what I do when I find out, you know, because I always have it like Michael, sometimes I have to throw him out because my inventory gets full and I get to dump stuff. And, right. But I will keep like level one, level two, level three, even level four, XMPs. Mm-hmm. And if I got a bunch of them and I notice somebody's playing the game with me, then I just switch. I don't even try to take the thing out. I just go down to like level, start using all my low level XMPs on it because I'm trying to get rid of them anyway, and those guys are killing power cubes as I'm attacking it.
So. This is true. So what I'm thinking is tomorrow I'll swing by your house at your driveway at about 1 o'clock. You can drop all your low level XMPs, your fours and threes. I'll pick them up because I need them.
Let me see if I have them. I may have dropped them already because I'm full. I'm sitting at 2,000 right now, and I may have dropped them already. Although I got to get rid of some stuff, so we will have to do a meetup because I got like 500 keys. I probably need to get rid of some of those.
The way I look at it is I'm no longer an hour away.
I know.
22 minutes away.
Yeah.
So realistically, yeah, we should do a little inventorying.
Yes, and we should go take Peterborough as we're...
Yeah, I mean, it's only an hour and a half's time and go down, take it out, you know. And since I turned five, one thing you guys mentioned, I'm already halfway to a six in 2 days.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm ranking up way faster from a five to a six than I was from a four to a five.
And if you think five XMPs are good, wait till you start using sixes.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to the day when I can do a Michael or a Barry and walk into an area like Peterborough and just be, and just take out like three portals at once.
Yeah, it's fun.
I will get giddy like that. I know I will.
I always have a chat with one of our frenemies. Cor de Leon is the agent name, and she actually works at Harlow's, and we've been talking back and forth. I said, you know, you've probably seen me, but she's always sneaky. You never see her out there, even though she might be playing the same time you are. And she goes, well, yeah. I said, I'm going to come into Harlow's for a beer. She goes, come into Harlow's and I'll buy you a beer. 970. I never get that high in my weapon count.
And I recycle anything under a six.
Wow.
I have 390. I have 391 sixes. I've got 380 or 365 sevens, 99 eights because I got into that big. You saw that screenshot I sent you when I was in that breather hotel in Sheboygan. The one thing that was cool about it is sitting in my room, I was right in the middle of green. But what you got there? Oh, okay. Yep.
That's
but these were all level 8 portals that were linked and linked and linked and linked and linked and linked. So I had a XM battle. I went through 10 level 8 power cubes. I had plenty of bursters. No, Bob, right. It's not time to come back yet. Get another beer. All right, thanks.
Bob, just break into the scotch.
Yeah.
No, yeah. Go Anthony's bourbon. Bourbon.
You know how it is in the Ingress area. Once we get Joel talking about it, we're here for hours.
Oh, stop.
But yeah, I'm hitting these things with level eights and I'm recharging and I can see they're recharging. Mm-hmm. But I picked the central hub of this thing and just went for it. But as I said, I waited till just about the time I was going to leave because I was in Wisconsin, central Wisconsin, with a name like Virtual Uper, and I had the only vehicle with Michigan plates on it. So I wasn't going to do it the night before and sit in that parking lot.
Yeah, really.
Got the tires flat in the morning.
Yeah. All right. I think we're done. Come on back, Bob. Because it's time now for Bottom Gear. Hit the theme!
late night to our
episode. Ah, you're 5 seconds early.
Damn it!
Oh, I was off. We haven't heard it in a while.
Start again.
Hello, I'm... What the hell? I'm the identity crisis right here. I forgot who I was. I'm Joel, one of your hosts, and we've got some stories to tell. And first up to bat is Barry. Why don't you take us away?
Well, I have to say that, and I was already notified of this at work on Wednesday. A guy, fellow worker at the company that shall not be named, he and I rolled in. He pulled parked in the parking spot next to mine, and then when I was getting out, he said, "You know, your left rear tail light is out." And I said, "Really?" And he goes, "Yes." He goes, I said, "Well, thank you." And I said, "Luckily, it's easy to replace." He goes, "Yeah, my wife has," and we had a discussion about the Prius. You guys were pretty good on that. So it was Friday. I went 2 days because I was working a little late, and I didn't get a chance to stop at the auto place and pick one up. And Friday on the way home, and this is the funny thing, it wasn't even dark out yet because we get out a little early on Friday, but I drive with my headlights on all the time. Mm-hmm. So I'm in the neighborhood. I'm on Gilmore Pond Road, and I'm right at the corner where Gilmore Pond boat launches, you know, basically, mm-hmm. where the little triangle area yeah. is. And all of a sudden, I see blue lights behind me. And so I pull on the Great Road, and the road I live on. Yeah. And just pull over, and it was Jeffrey's Finest. Guy comes over, and for the first thing I did was tap the button so Ingress wasn't on the display of my phone.
Impossible.
And
possible.
And he walks up, and he goes, "Can I see your license and registration, please?" And I said, "Sure." And he goes, "Do you know your taillights?" I said, "Yeah, I was told at work." And I said, "I haven't had a chance." I said, I'm going to go there this weekend and pick up a new taillight." He goes, "Okay." He goes, "I'll be back in a minute." He goes, "Have you been stopped for anything else this year?" And I said, "Probably for a headlight." And he starts cracking up. He went back, and of course he comes back. He goes, "No, this is just a warning, you know, because, you know, you have a tail laid out." And I said, "Okay, well, thank you." And then he starts asking me about the Prius. He goes, "Are you still on the original batteries on that?" And I said, "Yep." He goes, "What year is that?" I said, "It's a 2005. It's 10 years old." And he goes, "Wow, and you're still on the original batteries? Well, what kind of mileage are you getting?" I said, "Well, in the summertime, I'm still getting 50 miles of the gallon." He goes, "Really?" I said, "Yeah, and in the wintertime, it drops down to like 47, I said, usually. I think that's a combination of the cold. The batteries aren't as good in the cold weather, and also the mix of gas they use in the wintertime. And I said, "And I just passed 200,000 on it." He goes, "Really?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "It drives the same way it did on the first day I pulled it out of the lot." He goes, "Wow." He was just, you know, half the time I think they pull me over just to ask about the frickin' Prius. Yeah. So it was a good thing. And today I did stop at the auto place in downtown Jaffrey. And we weren't sure because there's three bulbs in there. And the girl behind the counter, she was looking it up. She goes, "Which bulb is it?" I said, "It's the bottom bulb." We were trying to figure out what it's called. I said, "I'd call it a running light because it's not the brake light and it's not the backup light. It's not that, right. you know, or the hazard light." I said, "It's probably the running light." And she goes, and she pulled out this one. I said, "You know what? In the Prius, it's so damn easy to get those tail lights out. You know, let me go get it." So I went out to the car, and they have a little hatch, you know, door. Yeah. You pop it open, you just twist the thing out, and I bring it in. She goes, "Is it the small one?" I said, "Yep, it's the little small one." So she had it on the table, so paid for it, came out, And I said, well, what the hell? I already got the thing out and everything. So I popped the thing in, put it back, and put the little door on and fixed it in the parking lot. So, and
there you go.
But on the other side, we had to make a couple dump runs today. And Anne-Marie was in front of me in the RAV4. And when we got to the dump, she said, I don't want to tell you this. I said, what? She goes, the left front headlight's out. I said,
oh,
that's the one we replaced. She goes,
uh-huh.
Yes. I said, oh, fuck.
That was a fun job.
Well, I haven't done it yet. I'm gonna look at it.
The first time you did it, just a few months ago.
Yeah, and luckily I already have an extra bulb for that. But I said I gotta get that replaced because they'll pull me over in an instant with a freaking headlight.
Well, not to mention it gets pretty damn dark pretty early now.
Yeah,
and we're not quite to that what I call the Barry mode of driving. Dark when you leave for work. Dark when you come home.
Yeah. Ooh. We're getting there quick, though.
Ooh. Ooh.
But
that's coming up, boys. That's coming up quick.
But that must have gone out. And granted, I drive with my headlights on all the time. But still.
Okay. Do they come on automatically? Or do you turn
them on? I just leave them on.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I always turn my headlights on. Yeah. All the time.
I just think it's a safety thing. I start doing that way. I don't forget to turn them on at night. They're always on.
Oh, I don't have any problem remembering to turn them on. I just turn them on just to give people one less excuse for hitting me.
Right. That's what I feel too. So I'm going to have to look at that tomorrow. And I kind of looked at it, peeked in kind of at the side of the thing, and it does look dark. So I don't know why. You know, we were wearing gloves. We didn't touch the bulb or anything.
You said a bad bulb. You know,
it could have been. It could have been.
It happens.
But that was like, it's 6 months old, I think.
Yeah, well, manufacturing, there's stuff that will just not work like it's supposed to.
Yeah.
So, you could upgrade to a higher, more intense bulb. No, because then you'd have to change both bulbs.
No, I don't want to do that.
Did you get the bulb from an auto parts house, or did you get it from...
Auto parts house.
Because, you know, sometimes you have this situation from the previous time. Somebody comes up with the box that you had and goes, is this the bulb that you have?
Yeah.
No. Okay. It puts it back in the box.
These were sealed. These were plastic blister sealed. Pack. Yeah, blister pack, right. Basically. So, yeah, I know what you're talking about, though. Or, you know, the last thing you want to see is a blister pack that has staples in it.
Or cello tape on it. And
yeah.
You're like,
tape.
Yeah, I don't want that.
Nah, sorry. Give me one that's sealed.
Factory glued closed, please.
Yes. So anyway, so that's my Prius story for the week.
It's coming.
It's coming. Oh, God, it's coming.
It's time to start buying a spare set of rims. Think about buying them.
Yeah, I gotta get ready to get the snows put on. I'm figuring the end of October.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
I got to take out the studded snows buried in the garage of doom to try for the old, for the neon, and also for, Goldfinger and Daisy.
Play Goldfinger.
Goldfinger.
You were close.
Oh.
I got to get this fixed so you guys can hear the soundboard again.
It's, I'm looking at it, you know, okay, studded snows. I'm like, oh, man, if I just had them on some spare freaking rims, that would be so nice to just jack them up, put them on, bolt them, done. But I don't know. Maybe I'll buy a set of rims. I wanted to buy a new recliner first, but. I don't know, snow traction or butt comfort? Which one's more comfort? More important?
Oh, while you're on that subject, even though it's not a bottom gear thing, remember a long time ago I told you that one of the springs broke in my Lazy Boy?
Yeah, and you had to replace it with it. It had a little...
Well, I haven't replaced it yet, you know, or anything, because, you know, it's broken in a spot that... don't know. So, but I was talking to Dan at work, and he was saying, I think they've got a lifetime warranty. I said, really? And his wife called up and they said, yeah. And I looked at the warranty myself, and the springs are a lifetime warranty.
Ah.
So give them a ring, Barry.
I have to give them a ring and maybe bring it down.
Because not digging anymore.
Exactly. There's a spring in my butt, and I want it fixed.
I want it removed.
Just wanted to say, I'll let you know. That'll be a future story here, what happens with Lazy Boy, because I bought it at a Lazy Boy store.
Oh,
yeah. After listening to your review, I went and bought myself a Lazy Boy as well.
Mm.
So I'm very interested in hearing how this works out for you.
That's doggone interesting indeed. I wasn't looking at the Lazy Boys because they're a bit pricey, and I'm like, you know, I'm not ready to drop that kind of coin on a chair.
But no, you know, you get
this is my gaming
for.
Chair. It was important.
It's going to be my gaming chair too. But I mean, you know, I can look at a recliner for $399 or a Lazy Boy for $13.99.
Mine wasn't that expensive.
Mine was definitely nowhere.
I didn't get the electric one. You know mine, and mine's a big man's chair.
Yeah.
So, I'll let you know how the lifetime warranty thing works out. You may want to think about it.
Yeah. I was looking at one. It wasn't a Lazy Boy brand, but it was an electric brand. And the electric, if you hit another button, the whole chair lifts you up. It's like for old people.
Yeah, I've seen those. Yeah.
It lifts you up to almost a complete standing position. And I'm like, that'd be great for when I'm shit-faced.
Talk about bottom gear.
I don't even have to stand up. The chair, I'll just tell the chair, chair, stand me up. And so long as I hit the right button.
Lots of torque on the low end.
Oh, no. Now, Joel's chair will probably sound voof, voof.
Actually, I would opt for the heavy duty power option. So it'll pretty much sound like a diesel engine.
And fling you across the room.
He'll wake up next morning and bed is on the opposite wall.
There's an outline of Joel on the wall across the room.
Actually, or I'll just be laying flat on face down on the floor in front of the chair because it'll lift me up, and I'll be too hammered to actually remember to straighten my knees. So I'll just flip me forward face down on the living room. I'm good. I'm here.
What's
I like
new
to
rug?
Picture you being embedded in the sheetrock better.
Yeah, that's. I was looking at that one because I remember the last time, and I'm sure you guys remember, when I blew my back out.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to get out of my chair was one of the most painful things. And I'm like, if I had one of those chairs that just lifted my fat ass up, I could actually go to an upright position much easier. And I thought, I'm seriously thinking about getting one of those. I don't know. But you know for a fact, if I did, I'd burn out the friggin' windings in the motor inside of a month. I'd have a chair that's stuck half up and half down.
Or you play with it and give it more power.
This is true. Like, wow, what if I wired this son of a bitch up for 240?
Oh, God. All right. Back to bottom gear now.
Michael, I am dying to hear what you've got to
say.
Okay.
So, ready? Dun.
Go! Go! It's played!
Oh, okay. All right. So, finally, I got the call. The Jeep doctor called and said, it's ready.
Ah.
I said, how much is it? And he said, you don't want to know.
$1 million.
Well, considering the amount of work this guy did, and I'll have to send you pictures, I am now two-thirds into the original purchase price of the vehicle in maintenance. But on the other hand, I got the vehicle for a very reasonable cost.
I was going to say, I don't think that's bad considering the story you've been telling us about what needed to be done.
No. And the guy has been fantastic. Yeah. Again, we originally bought this vehicle for $3,000, which is way under book price for even an average quality, average condition Jeep. the repair bill for what he just did, and he's had it for 8 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
It was up on the list for probably 5 weeks. The repair bill total was about $1,300, and that's because he totaled it first last week before I left for the business trip. Mm-hmm. He's like, we can't have that. He knocked off like $300 in labor.
Wow.
But
nice.
I mean, he's done a major rebuild on the whole front end of this thing, redid the brake lines, found out the sensor faults on the OBD2 errors that were driving me nuts. And most of that's just, you know, time-intensive dinking around to get the sensors. Wasn't all a lot of money and parts. But, yeah, he said, it's done. I was like, okay, well, there'll be a check in the center console of the rental car when I return it. So I get back last night, pull the rental car up, and I'm full of, you know, I've got stuff from work. I've got stuff from my mom's house. I've got to transfer all this over to the Jeep. So I walk over to the Jeep, and sure enough, he's sitting in the center console just like, you know, this is the UP. You know, we don't worry about stuff like that because if you do something stupid enough to steal something, there's one bridge on and off the island, and they'll be waiting for you. So start up the Jeep. Oh, it's purring like a kitten. Back it up. It's been a while since I've been in it. It felt kind of nice to be in this bouncy Wrangler again.
Mm-hmm.
I pull it around out in the street and pull it around to the front of the rental car place to get right next to the rental car. And here's kind of where we tie into a theme, sort of kind of with you, Barry, because as soon as I stop, I notice that the headlight pattern on the passenger side of the Jeep was a little strange because the headlight fell out of the Jeep. I came to a stop and the headlight popped right out of the Jeep and was hanging by the cable.
That's not a good thing.
I'm like, wow. Between the front axle of this thing and exhaust system, I've got $2,000 in maintenance on this thing so far. I've got about $5,000 invested in this car.
But it'll last you for $300,000.
11:30 at night, the headlight falls out, and I look at it, and sure enough, you know, the nice snap ring that goes around the circular headlight that's got four tabs on it, all four spot welds had come undone, and it just fell out of the Jeep.
Oh, jeez.
So I pushed it back in,
duct
went
tape?
Back into the Jeep. Oh, no, I didn't. The one time I didn't have it with me.
Oh.
I opened up one of my spiral folders and ripped out a couple of pages and folded them and folded and folded them. And I just shoved paper, you know, wedged paper in there to hold the headlight in.
Oh.
It worked until I got to Copper Harbor, at which point it fell out again. And this time when it fell out, the contacts of the headlight came in contact with the frame.
Oh.
And
popped the circuit.
Popped the circuit breaker. Well, the good thing is it's a circuit breaker on headlights.
Oh, nice.
They don't use fuses normally.
Yeah.
But I had to wait for it to reset. So I'm sitting there by the side of the road going, I wish I had the headlights. It's only a mile. Hey, I better wait. It's about time for Barney to come through with the sheriff's car. But anyhow, all right, you know, this is Andy or Mayberry law enforcement up here. That's a good thing. They're really, really cool guys. But we had like three law enforcement officers for the county. But the drive home, straight as an arrow, smooth as silk, easy to steer, alignment's perfect. I'll send pictures, but it is a joy to drive. And this is a 97. It's like a new vehicle again. And with the work he did on the sensors and redoing the cables and just cleaning things up, the engine's running smooth as silk. It's back up to 30 miles to the gallon because it's the four-cylinder nice. Jeep. And it stops now.
It stops!
Without spraying brake fluid all over the place. So today,
that's a good feature.
I sent an iMessage to David saying, your Jeep's finally home. You're ready for a road test. I told him the work that had been done. I said, well, what I wound up doing is I pulled this ring off, and not only was the spot welds to the ring that held the light or the headlight in broken, but the screws were stripped that held the tabs in. So I'm like, well, again, this is a 97. I've got a 2001. They're both TJs. So I disassembled the right side passenger side of my Jeep, took the entire assembly out, including the, you know, the base for the all the aiming mechanisms and everything, bolted it all out, put it in David's Jeep, bolted it all back together. So David's Jeep is 100%. Put the broken pieces in mine, used the extra heavy-duty Scotch packing tape to hold the bulb into the assembly. So it actually looks okay right now. I'm sure somewhere on Amazon there is a Chinese manufacturer that has the entire assembly for like $15.
Probably.
So yeah. Or there's got to be some in the junkyards. It's a standard round headlight mount.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So I got to fix that on my Jeep, but I want it right for David's.
Yes.
But I just thought after spending all that money to pull around the corner, stop and have the headlight fall out. It's like, no!
Really?
Really?
I think you should just put a giant eye patch on your Jeep.
Well, there you go.
To hold it in, you know?
Yes. No, you actually, unless you look close, you can see the packing tape. Better duct tape because the packing tape's clear, so you can even see that.
Oh, there. Yeah, that's true.
But yes, it is running like a champ.
Nice.
I'm about 5,000 into it. Now, that being said, and I may have brought this up in the last show, but it was out on the corner of the lot while he was moving things around after he had rebuilt the axle.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody pulled right into the service station and said, that's a 97 TJ. And he's like, yeah. It's got the four-cylinder in it? He said, yeah. And then being the proud mechanic, he said, you know, and this is what I just did. So he shows him all the new control arms and the traction bar and the stabilizer and the brackets that had been ground off and the new heavy-duty ones welded on. And everything's clean and shiny. And the guy goes, I'll give you $8,000 for this. And my mechanic friend said, it's a good thing I didn't have the title to this. Nope. This is for my son, but otherwise it would be tempting. Yeah.
Yeah.
This thing and buy another car. But no.
Well, pretty much so, it's a brand new car.
Yeah, it's running. It's home. It's running. I told David he needs to shop for a new stereo. He needs something with an aux input into it.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
That's easy, though.
Yeah.
Yep.
Any of the standard radios that you buy, third-party radios, have auxiliary. Yeah. And Bluetooth, probably.
Yep.
So, a lot of them have that as an extra option.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was 2 months in the shop, but considering, you know, 6 weeks of those 2 months, it was up on the lift, and still, he just charged me $1,300, and most of that was parts.
Wow.
That's
wonderful work.
You had extensive welding done and all kinds of stuff, so it wasn't just like swapping parts. It was fabrication.
And it was a case I brought in, and I said, this is for my son. He's a new driver. And the guy, you know, guy's a dad. He's like, you don't need to say anymore. It will be right. And he drove this thing back and forth. Once he got it going, he drove it back and forth to his house for like a week before he was willing to turn it over just to make sure.
Yeah. Cool. It's nice to find mechanics like that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, and speaking of new Jeeps.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. As soon as I got as soon as the new Jeep came in, my wife gave me a call and said, hey, the dealership called and said, your Jeep's in. I called my boss and said, hey, I got to go. And they said, why? I says, my new Jeep's in. You got a new Jeep in? I says, yeah. And he says, you have to go now for that? I says, well, it'll take the rest of the day to do the paperwork. So I took off from work and went over and got it. And sure enough, I didn't get out of the dealership till about 5:30.
Yeah.
And I left work. I think it was about 10 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
so it was an hour drive to my house to pick up my wife and then, you know, another 30 minutes or so to get to the dealer. And we spent the rest of the day purchasing the Jeep. But, man, this thing is an awesome, awesome vehicle.
Before you continue, Bart, I got to say right now, though, because you do work for the company that shall not be named.
Evil Corp.
Yes, exactly. When you said to him, yeah, my new Jeep's in, he goes, you got a new Jeep? The first thing he was thinking about was, damn, we're paying him too much.
Probably. Yeah, but they all know where I live, so they're probably thinking, yeah, he probably needs a new one.
Yeah.
So it was great. And, of course, as soon as I could get a picture of it, you guys were the first ones to see it.
Ah, sweet.
Yeah, cool. Nice. Yep.
It's on my desktop right now.
So yeah, I texted it to you guys. Well,
I like the blue
to Joel's wife.
Yeah.
Somehow, I hit reply on something and it ended up going to her. So yeah, it's a wonderful vehicle. I've got a heavy duty axle front and back, and some really great tires on it. And of course, you know, it is the Hard Rock edition, so it's got total steel bumpers and steel runners on the sides. Nice. And stuff. Yeah, next time I hit a deer, it won't be denting anything.
I like the blue too. The blue, it's a nice color.
Nice color.
Yeah, thanks. Nice. Yeah, I kind of like that too.
Yeah, sweet ride.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. Yes, indeed.
And speaking of messages, yeah, that's one annoying thing that iPhones do. Whenever somebody types into, no matter, you can delete all the messages in your account, you know, ongoing messages, but if somebody goes and puts another message in a message you've deleted, it'll make that message string come back from the dead.
Yes, and
of course, Joel changed his phone, got a company phone, and gave his old phone to his wife, Debbie. And so we've been texting back and forth to Debbie quite a bit. Joel hasn't been seeing squat.
I'm like, I walk in the door, Debbie's like, "You have got a huge conversation to catch up on."
What? Yeah, I went to the same thing with Tony.
What I said for you.
Well, what was funny is that at the end, and I was wondering, I said, and I still don't understand that. I don't think Debbie has iMessage stuff right, or maybe it's me. I don't know, because every time that string popped up, I could kind of tell I was on it because my messages were going out as regular text messages in green instead of blue.
Well, here's the dealio on that one, which is, and I researched this earlier. This is kind of a geek corner thing, but with my new work phone, every time I was entering a new contact, and boy, I had to buy a piece of software to transfer all my contacts over into the new phone. It did not work with an iTunes backup at all. But I bought the software and migrated them all over from Gmail into my new iPhone. The new iPhone that I got from work is attached to Microsoft Exchange servers for work emails to come through. Well, if your iPhone has Microsoft Exchange servers as an option for them, if you go into
Tech 5 for all you historians who will hear this hundreds of years from now, Windows totally sucks.
Okay, continue. For some reason, I didn't do anything. I just noticed, and literally I noticed it stopped recording.
Really?
Yeah, that was weird. It's recording now, but...
Wow.
And I saw it stop, so.
Gotcha. So if you go into, settings, and then you go over to mail, contacts, and calendars, and scroll down, you'll actually see where it says mail, and then it'll say default account. If you touch on that, you can choose your iCloud or another, Yahoo or Gmail or whatever. Well, if you have a Microsoft Exchange server tied to your iPhone, that removes the iPhone option for a telephone number in contacts.
What?
Dead serious.
Yeah, but it's not happening on yours. It's happening on Debbie's. Yours are coming out blue.
Because it remembered from when I transferred all my your guys' contact information into my new phone.
Yeah.
It brought them in as an iCloud as an iPhone that the numbers were saved for.
Okay.
But every new one
from
that point moving forward that I put in, and I think it's on her old phone because she, where the hell is it? I'm holding her phone right now. But it's pulling up actually, let me take a look here. Let me just close this out. Yes, if I go contacts and I go get out of here, add a new contact, just hit whatever, blah, 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 add phone number, and I touch it. See, hers will say iPhone as an option, so she doesn't have it set up as an iPhone. But my work phone doesn't even give me that option to save it as an iPhone.
Oh, that sucks.
It always comes up as a mobile and green. And I tried my damnedest to change that. I researched it and read blog after blog after blog after blog. People posting stuff. How do I get my iPhone telephone number message back as an option? And if you're tied into an exchange server for Microsoft, it automatically removes it as an option.
Huh.
And just calls it mobile.
Goddamn Microsoft.
And I'm like, that
you John C. Dvorak.
Oh, wait a minute. Hang on. I think I have him. Did I put him in? Yes.
Yeah, there I am, John C. Dvorak, and it's Tech Microsoft. 5 for that's all you historians funny. Who will hear this hundreds of years from now. Windows totally sucks, and it really does.
Okay.
So I found a way to do it
where
I can bring it back, the option of iPhone. And the only way I was able to do that is you got to go into your iPhone, change the settings, your default mail client from Exchange to either Gmail or iCloud. And then it'll allow you to have that option of under contacts to have it change your default account. But the minute you change it from Exchange to something else, a message pops up, says we're going to delete. If you do this change, it will delete all the contacts on this phone currently.
Whoa!
Jesus.
I've got 323 contacts. So it ain't like I'm going to be typing them in by hand. So but I'm like, yeah, I want to see the mine. I can actually get it back. I've got it back now on my iPhone because I changed my default client. And now it gives me the option of iPhone until I figured out how to do it. And I had to buy a piece of software that would transfer it so I can slide contacts over from Gmail to iCloud, iCloud to Exchange and back again. And it does it automatically. I didn't have that option. So, so I had to find a way to do that because the minute I said yes, whoosh, 323 contacts just disappeared.
God. That's some a deal.
Believe it or not, I'm kind of embarrassed to say it, but I bought the software for $19.99.
Windows totally sucks.
And then it downloaded it to my Windows machine. And then said, linked it to my iCloud, linked the software to my Gmail, and then said, okay, take all the contacts from Gmail, slide them into my iPhone. And it worked. It worked flawlessly. Doubled up some of them, but that was a geek corner piece. Sorry about that. But yeah, that's why you saw the green.
Well, I didn't see it on yours. I saw it on Debbie's.
Right.
But I have smartened up because then toward the end, Debbie, oh, I've got the beach.
Windows totally sucks.
Okay, good, thank you. Debbie started playing games. She was pretending to be you. But right before she started doing that, I said, well, I don't want, because, you know, that thread would come back and your picture would pop up because it was still under your name, that phone number. So I said, that's it. I went into the contacts list, took it out of yours, put it under her contact list, and now it pops up as Debbie. She was starting to be you.
Yeah, she was having a little fun with that.
Yeah, she was.
She's like, I want to poke the bear.
Yeah, she was doing a good job there.
And me not realizing it last night, I come in to catch up on these emails or these messages late and pop right back into that
old thread.
Yeah.
Evil SMS number. And I was like, oh, Mike, you just did it again.
Yeah, now you brought it all back out. You brought it from it's a zombie back from the dead.
So. It's okay. It's all fixable.
Yeah. Okay.
Cool. So the next thing that I had coming up was am I next?
Yeah.
I don't want to step.
You're next. Yeah.
So I was heading up to see my daughter's rugby game today, and I've been driving Goldfinger.
I'm a little behind you. And now.
Goldfinger. And I said, oh, man, I got to go all the way up to Norwich. And I'm like, man, these brakes in this car are feeling a little crunchy, as in not good. And I go down a lot of mountains. And you guys can attest, Barry, I know you can attest to this. And so can, you know, Michael, I haven't been to New York yet, so where Barty lives. But when you if you're going up a steep ass mountain, you got to come down the other side. You use your brakes. And so when your brakes don't feel 100%, you start thinking, oh, shit, I got to address this quickly. And so Dr. Kenny kindly said, he goes, oh, well, you got to go to see Kiona's rugby match. I said, yeah. I said, I don't like the brakes. So whether you're feeling on Goldfinger, I got to figure out how I'm going to do the time, jack this thing up and put brakes on it and blah, 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 and still get up there in time and do this and do that. And he's like, dude, just give it to me. He goes, I'll take it to the shop. I'm like, seriously? Just, yeah, just leave. So I threw the keys on. Well, up here, much like you, Michael, and in the UP, I just leave the keys in the car. It's like, oh, yeah, they're in the car. And he's like, all right, cool. And he took my car, drove it to the shop. And sure enough, he's sending me text pictures. He went, you know, and I'm at work, and so I'm driving Rambo to work, and we had that deluge of rain that came down. What was that, on Tuesday, fellas?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was bad. I have never been so happy in my life to be driving a truck, because if I was in the car, I'd have gotten worried.
Mm-hmm.
And he's sending me these text pictures. He's like, and you guys know, I've said it in shows in the past, whenever the conversation starts off, dude. And sure enough, I get a text message, and I just glanced at my iPhone, and the subject was, dude. I'm like, oh, that's not good. I'm just thinking, you know, a pad slapper and some shoes on the back, and we're good to go. And sure enough, he's sending me these pictures. There was nothing left of the rotors.
Wow. I'm like,
so you're telling me, I think they're probably beyond taking 10,000ths off of them and bolting them back on, right?
There's not 10,000ths to take off.
Two on two does not do you much good.
Exactly. He's like, dude, he says, I could take 60,000ths off of this thing, and he says it'd be paper thin. And it still wouldn't get out all the rust. So Goldfinger ended up with brand new pads and rotors on the front, as well as so that worked out real good. He said, yeah, because your shoes out back were great, because probably that was the only thing stopping the fucking car. It's just because the rotors weren't grabbing much.
I don't want to say anything.
Yeah,
I think I'm still on my original brakes.
Yeah, you and your dynamic electric brake. Stop, dude. You and your physics. It's science. It's science. I know.
You can't argue with it.
Nope.
Yeah.
I don't know how it's 10 years.
Control panel on the front dashboard.
204,000 miles. On.
I mean, either
I think
that,
the pads have been replaced.
Well, it had to have been. Either that or they got the Rockwell hardness of, you know, a durometer of like titanium.
I think they've been replaced once. So,
really?
Yeah.
Well, apparently you just don't use your brakes because the car can't get fast enough to get any momentum.
No,
under.
The car.
Yeah, no.
Remember, the car uses
the electric motors. Used are the brakes.
Yeah, exactly. The motors are braking the engine, or act like an engine brake.
Yeah, they the pads only take effect at the very end if you do a normal stop, and the only other time they take effect is if you slam on the brakes, which I rarely do.
Right.
Let's face it. With that car, with you two guys in it, for all the miles you put on it together, had to do some serious braking.
We didn't, because it was all highway driving. Right. Not to mention, it had so much drag on it. We couldn't get a good head of steam under it to actually warrant standing on the brake pedal. I just took my foot off the gas and it naturally stopped.
Oh god. Yep. Yeah,
that was my my bottom gear segment with Goldfinger, and with only one small slight addition, which was, and I've mentioned it before, and it's a real push now, but well, my beautiful bride had said, when she saw a picture of Barty's Jeep, and she's like, that's nice. And I showed her the pictures of Michael's Jeep and David's Jeep. She went, yeah, this confirms that I want a Jeep.
There you go.
Well, you know, they ride rougher than a Neon, and You know, I mean, this is you're not going to get mushy gushy like riding in a couch like with Goldfinger. She said, "I want a Jeep."
Hey, what's the story on that blue one down at Dr. Kenny's?
That one's up for sale.
Yeah,
and that's a YJ. It's a TJ.
Yeah,
that's a TJ Wrangler with a soft top, hard doors on it. That one is an automatic. You know, I'll buy that one too.
Yeah.
I don't think of that. I think it's like $3,800 for it.
That's not a bad price. I mean,
plus it's got the lift kit on it. It's 30 tires.
It looked like it was in pretty good shape.
Yeah, I hate the color.
It's a blue, but it's not Barty's blue.
Right, Barty's is this guy call it Barty blue.
Yeah, it's a cool blue. This one's kind of like a cyan. You know,
it's speckly, and you're like, that's really disgusting.
Yeah, okay. Look at the picture. Look at the background of Barty doesn't have a picture, but the background color of Barty's Skype picture.
Mm-hmm.
That's the color of the Jeep,
right? Now, if you do something like in olive green,
yeah,
that's like Robin's egg blue.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. It's not a nice
for blue. Those that don't see the Skype picture that we're talking about.
It's not cool Barty blue,
right?
Yeah, that color of blue is a color that was common in Volkswagens, if I remember correctly. That Robin's egg blue.
Oh.
Yeah, it's not the color you want on a Jeep.
Right. It's just not. You're like, ooh. But, I mean, ew, it's a Jeep. It's a cool, good looking, but ew. It could be so much better if it didn't have that color on it.
Yeah.
But
there are better anti-theft devices than this, but.
Yeah, so I mean, there's that one. Actually, I ought to think about that one a little bit. But and then there's still the late night QRM Jeep, which is still in pieces out back.
But it's back, right?
Yeah. Actually, it is. It's out back behind the shop now.
Okay. Yeah. So I heard you did report it went out on some off roading.
It went out on some off roading, and I believe it's back now. But I think if it's back, it came back very broken.
Mm.
So there'll be, and as I had said to Kenny, for an experimental vehicle that I'm trying to figure out if I can modify that I can fit in. Unlike Barty's Jeep that when we were up in Canada, I got that fit great, but that's a much newer design layout, ergonomically. The old one's not as forgiving.
Yeah. But, oh well. Just saw that, and I saw the sale sign on it, and I said,
Exactly. And, I mean, here again too. And I've kind of revamped and thought a few things. So listen, she needs a 4x4 up here. You absolutely have. And I need one for getting back and forth to work. And I thought about the idea. You know, I've said it 100 times: diesel trucks. And I love Michael's family truckster. However, I'm like, unless I found something that got as good as a gas mileage as his, the likelihood, most diesels don't get phenomenal gas mileage. And since I'll still cost more than gasoline, I thought, do I really need a dually? No, I don't need a dually. That's just like 2 extra tires and more brakes I got to buy.
Yeah. It's cool, but you're going to pay for it.
Yeah, and they're a pain in the ass to park.
Yeah. Yes, they are. They take up 2 spots. Guy used to drive it as a commuter car. I worked with, and he takes up 2 spots.
Yeah, they're a pain in the ass to park, and you always know you're always worried about dinging the flare fender.
Mm-hmm.
You know, having to get tearing a hole in the fiberglass. So I'm like, you know what? I don't think I need the dually. I still need a diesel.
I'm looking at like an F-150 or something.
But that, see, now I'm really seriously also thinking about a good half ton F-150.
Yeah.
Because the newer ones, I believe it, they get really good gas mileage on the highway. You know,
but I wonder if they're doing the Volkswagen trick to get the better number.
Well, it's not diesel. At least the 150s aren't diesel.
No, well, you can get a 150 with that straight 300. That's engine.
Yeah. That's a good engine. Good running truck. But again, I'm partial to Dodges, either Dodge or Ford. There again, I had a buddy of mine, actually, I talked to earlier this week. He says, hey, my dad's selling his Avalanche, and I used to love the idea of having an Avalanche, a Chevy Avalanche.
Yeah.
Ford, and I'm like, you know what? No, thanks. And he went, wait a minute, don't you lie? I said, I won't touch another Chevy. I said, he could give it to me for free and I'd sell it. I said, I've had too many issues with them. I don't trust them anymore.
On the repair parts are just outrageous. That's what really got me. I mean, I was a GM person for so long, but what they marked their repair parts up for.
Yeah.
I got a friend that short problem, a short in the front anti-lock brake cable. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's a harness. Right. You have to buy the entire harness. $600 and some odd.
Crazy.
It's just like first service part. It's,
yeah.
And I was an automotive engineer for 10 years. I know what these things are getting marked up. And I'm like, mm-hmm. No.
Yeah.
Won't do it.
7,000% markup. And you're saying, well, it's like the, what the hell was it? Even on the Tahoe, we had that 98 Tahoe and it had a fuel line issue, you know, where it rusted out. Well, their fuel line is all molded, one piece.
Oh.
You have to buy the entire fuel line for the length of the entire truck. And it was like a $400. I'm like, that's a 98 Tahoe. There's no way in hell you can justify that kind of money. Dr. Kenny found a way to splice in and actually replace the bad section, but you're not supposed to be able to technically do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, that is such an asinine way to design it. What happened to the good old days of just, you know, nowadays I know guys replace all the steel lines with copper mm-hmm. for their fuel lines
yeah.
because it's never going to rust.
Yeah.
But, that's expensive, you're right. Though.
Copper.
It's probably
worth it.
Oh, yeah. But you don't have to worry about fuel lines rotting out, brake lines rotting out. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, too, it's just I with broken frames on that, a couple Chevys. I'm like, I'll never touch another one. I mean, there are some of them look really, really nice, but no, it's left a bad taste in my mouth.
All right, we need to get moving. Let's get to Michael's story.
So, I've been working on the Bolins, and the other thing that was working.
Go.
Okay. So, I've been working on the Bolins, and yet another thing I did last Sunday, and I don't know what's going on with me this show. I know a lot of stuff I was trying to say has come out flat, so I'll apologize on that. But Sunday was a busy day between working on the tractor and remote rural rescues and eclipses, and it just average day in the Keweenaw. But I'm trying to get this dang roller pin out of the shaft coupler. It's not that it's that difficult. It's a really hard place to get to. And finally, my diesel mechanic friend, who just sent me a text actually while we were doing the show. Said, just screw it, drill it out. Just drill the damn thing out. Well, even that I'm having trouble doing. I spent 2 hours trying to drill this pin out on last Sunday. And then as I'm trying to drill this pin out, I take a much closer look because I have much better lighting now on the shafts that are in question. And that's when I saw, and I missed it originally because it was so evenly worn, but the input shaft to the hydraulic pump on the rear part of my tractor is completely stripped.
Oh.
The splines are completely worn down evenly, but they're stripped. So now it's not just a case of getting this coupler off and replacing it. The input shaft to the hydraulic pump is toast.
Oh, jeez.
So this is no longer anything I can do from the underside of the tractor. I got to completely separate this thing, drain the hydraulic oil out of it, and flip this thing upside down so I can get to it. But it's now turned into a major operation. So if I can't get some assistance from my diesel mechanic friend up here to come up with a solution to this, I'm going to have to move this thing out of my garage in pieces, store it, or sell it. I mean, it's a very marketable tractor. It's because it's hard to get parts for it. That's why I'm some concerns, and maybe have to go out for an old Ford M or something.
Right,
get us through the winter.
Right.
My blower is in good shape. Blower is not a problem, but it doesn't have to be 4-wheel drive. I just need a tractor with chains on it, or I'm going to be hurt come January.
Right.
Yeah.
Something to move damn snow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. So. Not a happy camper right now, but
that sucks.
No, I don't want to just scrap a 10 grand tractor if I don't have to.
Right. And speaking of tractors, I got to say that I'm on the verge of pressing the button to order the cab for the John Deere for the winter season.
How many seasons has it been now?
Yeah. It's only been two.
Okay.
Two seasons.
Those cabs are a lot of money for just a big plastic box.
It's 430 bucks, I think, for it. It's canvas and plastic. But I'm to the point, like I said, when it's cold, I'm not just cold, it hurts now. Right. So I need to have something that's going to keep me out of the cold.
Right.
Yeah. You know? And if it's anything like last winter, where we were getting snow every other day, and I was out there snow blowing every other day, I got to have something.
Right.
So, this is your health you're talking yeah. about here. Don't mess around with that.
Yeah. So that's it's going to be worth it, I think. Watch, I'll get it and I'll put it on, and then it won't fit in the goddamn garage.
Listen to him.
That'd be your luck. That would suck.
I don't know. Okay, we got to get moving here. I'm going to skip entertainment last month since I'm the only person that put something in.
No. You got it.
We are running long here. So I will just say real quick, the new Doctor Who started. There's been two episodes. Another one's probably downloading as we speak. Very cool season so far.
Yes.
Very cool season. After last season, I was beginning to say maybe this Doctor's not my cup of tea, but after these first two episodes of the season, I've changed my mind again. I'm liking him. Yeah, excellent. Very good. So,
I'm liking him, and did you hear the rumor about who might not be on the show after this season?
I heard. Although she's been very good, and they've been sharing more. But I gotta say, I like Missy, a.k.a. Yes. The Master.
Yes.
Actually, the mistress, no.
Yeah, I mean, the actress who plays her is excellent. She plays it so well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's very good at being bad.
Yeah. So, anyway, I'll talk to you after the show. we won't talk here about it. Just a little business between us all.
Got it.
I think we need to roll it up, and this is the second week of Joel's Picks, and this week it's Trivium with Strife.
Good song.
I haven't heard it yet. I have to download it. I'm way late, and you know, like I said, I'm trying to get 195A out. They'll know by the time they hear this one that 195 is A and B. So, we need to go because we're going way long again. So I want to thank everybody for listening, and thank all the military people out there for doing what they do. Both CONUS and OCONUS, and especially you OCONUS guys, stay safe, and we hope you get home to your families and friends real soon. And until then, we'll keep the home fires burning for you. So with that, from the lovely, beautiful, orange-yellow section, Monadnock region of Southwest New Hampshire, this is Barry J.
And from South Central New Hampshire, where it's got all those pretty words too, this is Joel.
And from the colorful Central New York Tug Hill Plateau, this is Barty.
And from the suburbs of Copper Harbor, this is Michael the Virtual Uper.
And that's it for show 198, 199 next week. Until then, here's Trivium.
this negativity's leeching. Any shred of composure, rationale is decayed and left me bound in madness. A peaceful calm, I stop for a balance unknown. This burden torches me deep in my soul. I found the strike won't make the bleeding stop, nor will it take away the pain. I feel like this search is all in vain, and I struggle to find my way. How I yearn for the silence, for an end to the voices. The calamity grows and the darkness leads to disarray. Guilt buries me alive. Nothing criticized. I shoulder the blame and dug this all for me to lay in. A peaceful calm, I stop for a balance unknown. This burden tortures me deep in my soul. I found the strife won't make the bleeding stop, nor will it take away the pain.
Good boy.